What's poppin'? Hope everybody had a happy Father's Day. It's the Drew and Mike Show in the DealsNadie.com studios.
And happy Father's Day.
And we'll get cracking in a second here. Zot Ford and DealsNadie.com is fired up because everybody's back at full strength and safety measures are in place, so you have nothing to worry about when you go visit the hottest sales staff in Oakland County, Engine Bentley, to lease or buy a new car. They got the Fusion 2020 as low as 115. The new 2020 Ford F-150 Supercrew XLT 4x4 is low as 125. And then there's a 2020 Ford Explorer as little as 198 a month.
Daddy.
They've also got $10,000 in rebates and tons of inventory. So check out Zot Ford, Jim Bentley, DealsNadie.com, and say hi to Gabar.
I just want to, like, be a father.
Oh, boy. So, I was listening to something Dan Evans sent the other day when Gilbert Gottfried was in studio in 2011.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, is that funny?
Yeah.
Gilbert is really on fire, I think. And the thing is, Gilbert and Mike are laughing so hard that they're making each other laugh harder. Man, I usually don't laugh. I don't laugh out loud at stuff I've seen already or heard already, but I do. I mean, sometimes, rarely. But I was laughing.
You can smell my fart.
That's how he wrapped up.
It was his message, right? Wasn't it his?
Well, I think somebody called in and said, "Hey, you should play the Chuck Berry fart for Gilbert." Gilbert's like,
"Why?
What's a Chuck Berry fart?"
He said, "Have you heard it?" And he goes, "No, I haven't. I'd like to hear it." And then even funnier was Gilbert's book had just come out. So we got to bring up all that stuff. You know, like when he told the Pee Wee Herman joke on the Emmys.
Yeah.
And I think they bleeped it. And, of course, he was never allowed to go back on Fox TV.
What was the joke? I don't remember the joke.
He said that if Pee Wee Herman was guilty of a crime, then he should be on death row.
Oh, I got you. Yeah,
you know, for beating off in the theater.
Good one.
I mean, it's so absolutely crazy that think of how badly punished Paul Rubens was. That was incredible.
I know. And then Fred Willard allegedly does it. Nothing happens to Fred.
Well, and Mike pointed out that, he was doing a children's show. But
yeah,
but he was beating off.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't doing anything to a child. It had nothing to do with children. Anyway, I mean, that was really, when I think back on that, it just blows my mind. When you compare that, what a small thing that was.
Well, really? What if kids see this?
To
I
some
love
of things,
that story!
I got to tell you, punishment is so weird these days. It's like, you know, it can be one tweet that knocks you out of a job and a career for life. Or you could do something incredibly terrible and really not get punished at all.
Life can be so unfair.
You about to lose your job.
Anyway, what else is Gilbert talking about? We should maybe play this.
Yeah.
At the end of the show. Or maybe even in the middle and I can take a break. That'd be nice. Although it's 20 minutes. Maybe we should play it at the end. I love the guy who calls in. He called in about... Have you guys listened to it since Dan?
No.
Okay.
Not yet. I have a ton of stuff I have to listen to. Dan has sent so much. He's sent a ton of compilations as well. Yeah, 2 hours worth of stuff in certain files.
There
it's
is
crazy.
easily a couple good, really good shows. I think people get a kick out of that. That last Mike Clark Best Of show has been listened to 571,000 times, I think. So anyway, this guy calls in. And he's talking about the Pee Wee story and Gilbert, you know, getting busted on, getting thrown off the Emmys, basically. And Gilbert was, you know, sort of marveling at, you know, what was the big deal on that? And the guy says, well, it was right after the Michael Landon tribute because Michael Landon had just died.
Oh, well, like Landon doesn't beat off.
I know.
Michael Landon beat off all the time.
And
it's a fact.
When he said that, Gilbert said something. Apparently, I mean, he had no idea. He didn't care. And we're talking about game shows, too, because Gilbert always felt that the lowest form of celebrity life is a game show. And then he was asked to be in Hollywood Squares, and he did. He went on because he didn't have anything else to do. But it's funny. I don't know how much. Did you guys watch a lot of game shows when you were kids?
Oh, my God, a ton. A ton.
Yeah, I
love Card Sharks, Pressure Luck, Tic-Tac-Doe.
Yeah, those are all good games.
I loved Press Your Luck. Yeah.
Yeah, it's coming back.
Was Match Game on when you guys were kids?
Kind of. Yeah, I never really got into Match Game when I was a kid because I didn't know who Brett Summers was when I was 8.
Mark, when I was a kid, Brett Summers was on there. Nipsey Russell, Richard Dawson, Charles Nelson Reilly.
I always knew Dick Dawson was the love.
Nipsey Hussle.
I knew Dick Dawson from Hogan's Heroes.
Hogan's Heroes, yeah. And then he hosted Family Feud.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And he was very funny on Match Game, too. But honestly, as like a 10-year-old watching that show, it was like, who the fuck are these people? I mean, if I knew how to talk like that at the time.
Yeah.
I had no idea. I had no reference point whatsoever. Because their careers have been over longer than I've been alive. And they weren't that good in the first place. It was just really funny thinking about that because it really was weird. It's like, hey, this is a fun show. But then, you know, eventually you start going, who's Nipsey? And, you know, who are these people? Why are they famous?
Well, see, when I was growing up in the 90s, that's when I really think that game shows started shifting to, instead of just having a game show for everybody, like your Match Games or your Press Your Lucks, which were fantastic, Supermarket Sweeps. But you started getting the ones that were really... aimed towards children. I had Double Dare, you know.
Yeah.
Double Dare was great. Video Power, which was a game show all about Nintendo. How cool is that? Guts, The Legend of the Hidden Temple.
You know where game shows started dying is when they got really slow. Like, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? It's still a good show, but it was too slow.
They dicked around. They dragged it out.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
I don't know why they did that. I never understood that.
I would rather more contestants, maybe at a lower prize point.
I think they were trying to drag people over the episode.
Absolutely were.
But you can drag anybody over the episode. It doesn't have to be the second guy or the first guy. It could be the third guy. But I still like that show, but it does start to feel slow.
Did you like Tic-Tac-Doe? Were you a big fan of that?
Well, it wasn't my favorite, but I could watch any game show. Dumb. I mean, I used to watch The Price is Right when I was sick from school.
The Price is Right is good, though.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I mean, but
Card Sharks was terrible. I loved watching it, but it's kind of a dumb game, if you think about it. It's just high-low.
There was a weird game called the Who, What, or Where game.
Carmen Sandiego. Steal this.
Who's the host? Bill Cullen was the host. He had a buzz cut, and Bill Cullen used to host a lot of stuff. And that was the other thing. You know, as a 10-year-old, and remember, no internet. So no idea. Who's Brett Summers? Do you know Brett Summers? God, I have no idea. I mean, nobody knew who these people were. And no one knew who Bert Convy was either, except for Maz. I mean, Bert Convy. Why is he the host of like 4 shows? What? Who is he?
Yeah, well, Wink Martindale used to host.
Never heard of him, Max.
Everything.
And Wink Martindale, isn't he a right wing?
I think you're thinking of.
Who am I thinking of? Oh, Chuck Woolery.
Chuck Woolery, yeah.
Yeah. He's got a big following.
Yeah. He did the dating game, or not the dating game, Newlyweds? No, it was Eubanks.
Yeah,
hey, Eubanks!
It's funny with Eubanks. Bob Eubanks. First of all, in the butt, Bob, is like the only thing I ever think of with the Newlywed Game, other than the terrible prizes, which are selected especially for you. And then it'd be like a refrigerator.
Yeah.
I mean, they were just lame.
That was before my time, but even I got that reference because of that that clip that went viral, in the butt.
Well, see, the thing was, that clip.
Me where specifically is the weirdest place that you personally, girls, have ever gotten the urge to make whoopee?
In the ass.
What I'm talking about is the weirdest location, the weirdest place.
Location?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Still the butt.
It's still the ass. I mean, I can't believe she said in the ass. What year is that, 70s?
He said it was in the car, on the freeway.
In the car.
What is your ass?
People didn't even talk about taking the ass in the 70s. They didn't. Yeah. No one. Like 3 people in the world talked about taking the ass in the 70s. I'm not kidding. You think I'm kidding?
She's a big Maverick.
She's a huge Maverick. She's a forward thinker. So anyway, there was always that rumor. It was like the Rod Stewart had to get his stomach pumped of semen rumor. Everyone heard it. Yeah, you're that lady that said, you know, in the butt, Bob, or whatever she said.
This was true, though.
I know it was, but it was no way you could verify it. You couldn't see it. And then the internet comes along and it's like, holy shit, that's true.
I always hated the Love Connection. Hated that game. That was Woolery. That was one of Woolery's.
That's kind of stupid.
Is that the one where they had that guy that ended up being the serial killer?
Well, that was a dating game, wasn't it?
Yeah, the dating game.
Yeah, the dating game with Jim Ladd. Yeah,
Jennifer Granholm was on that, too, wasn't she? Didn't she do it?
I think she was, yeah. A lot of, I think Burt Reynolds is on there. A lot of Hollywood stars, before they were stars, that was a place where you could, like, your agent could land you on the dating game, and then you could be so cute and adorable that...
Rodney Alcala, he had, like, murdered people just before he went on the dating game. He won, too, and then the chick... met him, and she's like, you know what? I don't think I'm going to go out with him.
Got a lot of charisma. Joker's Wild. That was another great one.
Joker's Wild. Yeah, I was never. I don't think I ever understood how that game worked. Oh, wait, was that Joker? Yeah. If the next thing is anything but a Joker, you lose.
Exactly. Yeah. They were simple. They were fun.
It was an easy game.
Did you like Password?
Well, I think Jim Carrey helped bring it back in Cable Guy.
That's right.
Password is. For some reason, there's something.
So great.
There's something so silly about.
Password is double.
Someone whispering on TV is just so silly. Let's see. What else did I watch?
Sale of the century.
You know what I used to like? I used to watch The Pyramid every day.
Oh, the best one. Is Remote Control on MTV. Did you like
that? Yeah, I did.
Love
I did.
That.
Yeah. Sandler was on that.
Sandler, yeah, he was the stud boy, and Colin Quinn was on there.
That was it. Well, they made it. It was like a rock and roll game show.
That was just a cool show, man.
People were just so, I mean, everything was so straight in its thinking. You couldn't even be a little out on the limb on a game show. And then MTV showed you can.
Did you ever know that, Brandon? Did you ever watch Remote Control, or is that too...
Who's
I'm looking
Ken,
at it now, and
Ken
I don't
somebody?
Really recall it. Maybe I've seen it because the backdrop and that host looks familiar. But, you
Did
know, I can't recall. I think it was a little bit before my time. And when it comes to MTV, the game shows I remember from MTV were like the karaoke. Say What Karaoke and stuff like that.
Say What Karaoke. Never heard of it.
No, I've never heard of that either.
It's really funny when you find a show that you completely missed. I'll tell you, the one that made me laugh, and I couldn't help watching a couple episodes, and I was like, I wish I'd put this show back on, was Reuniting the Band. Just because it was just so stupid, you know, to actually go around and find these people, all
or
of
bands
whom...
Bands Reunited.
Bands Reunited on VH1. I mean, the entire band, virtually, in many of the cases, is no longer... in the music business, making an income. They're, you know, working at City Hall doing this. You know, this guy's an architect's assistant or something. And it's just really funny because they would always go like, I don't know, you know, that last night we just had a terrible fight. And they'd be like, oh, yeah, what the fuck? Yeah, sure, why not? And then they go, and they'd usually rock it. And sometimes, too, you got like the alarm where three band members are doing nothing in music. Nothing. And the lead singer, of course, is sort of the alarm. With different people, and he's still out there touring all the time.
Ken Ober, and he is dead. I don't know if it was suicide or not.
Well, it seems like that would come up.
Let's see. He had been feeling ill and was complaining of headaches, chronic chest pain, and flu-like symptoms. Sounds like COVID.
Maybe
he had COVID 11 years ago.
Maybe he drank transmission fluid or whatever people drink. What's the coolant?
What?
People spike drinks with coolant.
Really?
Car coolant? Yeah.
And it's antifreeze?
Antifreeze, yeah. And man, that's not good. Huh. And one lady did it to her husband, and then she left a glass of it by his bed. And
I remember that.
It looks like coolant. She's like, I think it's lemon Sprite or something.
Lemon Sprite.
I mean, how do you explain that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember Ken Ober from Rockin' Jock. Yeah.
Oh, he played in Rockin'. I used to love.
He's a very familiar-looking face. I didn't know that he's been gone since 2009.
Yeah. Look at all these shows Brandon knows. It's funny. MTV.
You don't remember Rockin' Jock?
I don't really remember that show. You know what? MTV.
It was just like they'd have a softball game or a basketball game with celebrities of the time mixed together.
Yeah. That network.
You see Ja Rule out there.
That network was brilliantly targeted brilliantly at like 12 to 24. Uh-huh. And once you got out of that zone, it was like, you know, I like Real World, you know, or I like this show. And you go back to watch something. But, I mean, they just planted that target on that young demo. And you could just leave it on MTV, and some people did.
They did, yeah.
Ooh-ah. Yeah. And, again, with those fucking videos. When MTV started in 80, I think it was, when I first started watching it, came to Virginia, we were an early cable for MTV, because they used to have all the...
Ooh. What a brag.
I didn't understand the promo zone. I want my MTV!
Yeah.
You know, because I'm like, what are you talking about? We have MTV. Why are you playing that MTV when we can see it? I mean, isn't that kind of silly?
Yeah, that doesn't even make sense. Although, we didn't have cable for a long time, so I saw it at other people's homes.
But when MTV started... That's a weird way to start the show. When MTV started... The promos, virtually all their production was just so much younger and, you know, it was just different and it was cool. It was like, hey, this is what happens when kids take over network. Mm-hmm. And it was really, I mean, it was like, wow. And then the song videos, that's really exciting. But I think I was 20 then. And it's like, you know, for about a year and a half, maybe you pop it on and you watch a few, and then they all look the same. They were all the same. I mean, the filmmaking was just not terribly brilliant.
I would have been around 10, and my brothers would have been teenagers as well. We didn't have cable, so my aunt recorded a bunch of MTV on a VHS.
Ooh!
I still have the tape.
That's really funny.
I should bring it in, because it's really kind of funny to watch the really bad videos on there. And just the promos and the commercials and stuff.
MTV turns 40 next year, which is crazy thinking that the last 20 there's really no music. So it's,
what is on MTV now? I don't even know.
Oh, you know, 16 you know.
You watch a lot of it. Said yes, but he said no. Remote control. Now he's got his own game show. What a good concept too. In his parents' basement.
Yeah. I remember people blowing out the back. They'd send their chair off the set.
Oh, the opening.
There's Colin Quinn. Look how young Colin looks.
Quizmaster 72, and it's a night. Ken, I'm not even going to say his last name. Ken!
Oh, man.
Yeah, MTV Now, it's just Teen Mom OG. You got Double Shot at Love with Pauly D and Vinny. You got Ridiculousness, which is basically just the internet.
That show, I swear to God, sometimes I used to go by MTV and I'm like, do they run it? Is it the Ridiculousness Network or is it MTV? Because it seems like it would just run for
30
hours
shows in a row.
That's what's on right now. It's ridiculous.
Ridiculousness? Let me guess, there's a blonde girl on a couch laughing.
Yeah, it sums it up.
That's about all I know about the show. Yeah. And the funny thing is, if I stop on Ridiculousness, I'll probably watch it for a while.
Look at that, 4:30 Ridiculousness.
Yeah, Ridiculousness. It's the Ridiculousness Network.
6:30.
It should only be referred to as the Ridiculousness Network.
It's all ridiculous all day long until, oh my God. Let's see, until Monday, I'm hoping.
Rob, yup, yup.
They must be doing, until Monday at 11 a.m. when How High is on, the movie How High.
I want to mention Death Wish Coffee, who provide the sponsorship for Facebook Live. Go to deathwishcoffee.com/Drew. Use the code Drew15 at checkout to get your 15% off your entire order. Somebody posted something on Facebook that they had purchased a Death Wish, one of those warmers, the warmer cups.
Oh, yeah.
And they said it kept their coffee warm for a full four-hour drive.
Oh, cool.
It's kind of cool.
Hey, why not?
deathwishcoffee.com/Drew. Code Drew15. So there you go. Yeah. Gilbert Gottfried. I'm going to play that. That was really
Absolutely.
Fun. First of all, it's just fun to hear Mike. And Mike is laughing his ass off. Yeah. And Gilbert is laughing his ass off. Man, they were having a ball.
When I came in, you were listening to it. And they were both laughing at the same time.
They were.
Bitch! For probably 30 seconds.
It was really. I remember.
Oh, for God's sake.
I remember thinking at that very day, like, wow, that was a lot of fun. That was a really fun, because sometimes it's work and you're stressed, like, I want this to go well. We have a guest. It's a pretty big, you know, Gilbert's pretty big to me.
Yeah, he's big.
Yeah. I mean, I think he
is. I had that feeling, though, when he was in the green room in 105.1, and I didn't know, I had absolutely no idea that he kind of had two different personas in a way. And I thought, oh, my God, he's going to go in here and bomb because he's so... He's so calm. He's so quiet. He's so reserved and tiny too. Gilbert Gottfried's a tiny guy. And it was so amazing walking through the hallway. And as soon as the door opens, I mean, he just gets this fire and he comes roaring into the studio. And I mean, he just, it's just like that. He turns it on and he is on fire for an hour with us. It was
crazy. You know who else was like that? Bobcat Goldthwait.
Oh, yeah.
Off the air, just very calm and just talk about whatever. And then the sooner that mic came on, boom.
What's he done since Blow?
Well, he directs a lot of stuff now.
Yeah, I wish he came around. Was he doing stand-up then when he used to come around?
He was when we used to have him on. He would perform at, was it Chaplin's on the East Side? Did they even exist? Because he'd always make fun of the bowling alley.
Yes, every comedian every that performed at Chaplin's did.
Yeah. God, I remember seeing him out there, and he just tore a heckler apart. It's like, okay, yeah, this guy's been doing this for a long time.
Yeah,
You're not going to win.
I think Bobcat got too big to do stand-up. He was really doing some behind-the-scenes stuff, but, you know, when you meet somebody in front of the camera, you kind of expect that they will always be in front of the camera.
Didn't he direct a lot of the man shows? And then I want to say, did he do Kimmel Live, Jimmy Kimmel Live?
He did, because he came in with Kimmel. Because Kimmel came in, and it's funny looking back on this, like, well, I can't believe Jimmy Kimmel was in our studio.
Yeah.
How flipping cool was that?
Very tired Jimmy Kimmel.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bobcat was the director of The Man Show from 2000 to 2003. And looking through his IMDb and stuff, the guy has stayed consistently busy. He works a lot with animated shows, which can be a cash cow, stuff like Bob's Burgers that's already ran for 7-8 years.
Oof.
And, you know, stuff like The Regular Show and Adventure Time.
Love him.
He's got plenty of credits. This guy's not hurting.
I have to say, it's frustrating to me, and I get a lot of these emails like, you know, I heard something about Jimmy Kimmel. I hate Jimmy Kimmel. And he's the nicest guy. I mean, he was such a good guy. I really thought, when he came in, that I bet he's going to be a really nice guy. I was really excited. And he was every bit as nice as I ever thought he was. He was just really cool. And it's weird that he's in this new zone now. I'm not quite used to it. I mean, I still watch him and I like him, but...
You saw the news on him, right?
Yeah, he's taking 2 months off.
Yeah, two or three. Basically the rest of the summer.
There's a lot of like, what's going on there?
They're connecting all to his blackface.
Well,
as if that's why Kimmel would really take 3 months off because he did blackface when The Man Show was on, and now he's getting heat again for it? We've been through this.
I don't know what to make of this. Frankly, I don't think blackface was. I know that Megyn Kelly's high school class will take great exception to this, but I just don't remember that being a big deal at the time. I mean, you can't enforce 2020 outrage.
Oh, yeah.
You know, pre-Twitter outrage on, you know, 1998. For some reason, the blackface just won't stick to Jimmy Kimmel. It's like Jimmy Fallon, it really got to him. I think Jimmy Fallon, it kept coming back, and I think he was getting really tired of it.
Oh, yeah,
I think he was wearing him down, and they were telling him, ignore it. And he finally felt like, no, I can't ignore this. How can you ignore something that is constantly coming up? And I understand what Jimmy Fallon was doing. I didn't really like it. And he also, you know, he's the head of the NAACP. As he's talking, like, you can't talk about this unless you have the appropriate black guest.
Yeah.
And it has to be a boring black guest who's very serious.
Yeah.
Can I have Chris Rock? No, Chris Rock, not Chris Rock. It's got to be somebody who turns people, makes people change the station.
I think the most amazing example of maybe canceling blackface, or that's not really canceling, I don't like that term, but I was showing you this, Brandon, Mr. Show with Bob and David. They had a reboot on Netflix with Bob and David, and David Cross came out and said they're pulling this one sketch off of the show because what it is, the sketch is called Know Your Rights, and he's kind of those like... I guess like a gadfly who wants everybody to know their rights when they get pulled over.
Uh-huh.
And so it starts off and he gets pulled over. There's not a roadblock, but a checkpoint for drunk driving. And so he's going through all the things you're allowed to only roll your window down 2 inches to facilitate document transferring and all this.
Keegan-Michael
Key's in it too.
I mean, this is the sketch.
Yeah.
And so then the guy's just, Keegan-Michael Key's the cop and he just lets him go. And he's upset that he didn't get into a confrontation with the cop. That's the joke. So then he comes back again, and it happened like three times. He rinsed his mouth out with alcohol so he'd smell like booze. But he wouldn't swallow. It's a really funny sketch. But the last time, to get the confrontation, he does blackface. The character does blackface to just get a confrontation. But the joke is the confrontation is over the fact that he's annoying the hell out of these police because he's trying to. And that's what they...
It's the sixth time he's gone through.
Oh, and he's wearing blackface in his car?
The character is, yes, because he's trying to get in a confrontation so you would, quote-unquote, know your rights. It's a very funny
sketch. Cancel him now!
Yeah, they pulled it.
They pulled it, but it's... They're making fun of those people.
Nobody has a sense of humor anymore. There's no common sense about any of this. Part of me thinks, and I've been absolutely firm in my thinking on this, that... We'll look back on this period in 30 years and go, oh, my God, remember when Twitter and social media started? And they just canceled people. So any old joke could pop on and say this person did this, and it just canceled them. And they never got a job again. And then the other part of me says, it's just going to get worse, or it's going to be just like so commonplace it'll be ignored and they won't cancel them anymore. And they'll be like, oh, when it first started, they used to really, really cancel the people. Where is this going?
Well, what does it solve?
It solves nothing, and it's unfair. It's total bullshit. And, the best example I have is, who's the guy posting all the anti-Jewish stuff?
Ice Cube.
What? Ice Cube. Oh, yeah, Ice Cube. Right, right. I mean, post after post after post. And people apologizing for him, saying, he was hacked. And then he comes back and says, I was not hacked. And he keeps them coming. I mean, Brandon, it was a long stretch of stuff. It wasn't one thing.
Yeah, it was sharing a lot, all the kind of attack memes that you see on Facebook and Twitter. And,
yeah, Jewish conspiracies and also suggesting also a lot of Jewish stereotypes about noses and money. Stealing money from people. And I mean, just the worst. And has anyone put pressure on him to stop doing whatever he does? No, not one. But I give you a million examples of somebody who did far less. And it's like, see ya. A guy had a shit fit at the chicken filet. The guy, and he was a total asshole. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But he has not worked since. Or I think he has a job, but it's not a significant job. I mean, it's a real serious thing to get canceled. I mean, it really fucks you up. Let me talk about Tad Klimek over the past couple months. Many people were financially affected by the coronavirus and not being able to work, or maybe your job was eliminated. And by the way, speaking of jobs, we'll get to that in a minute. Some people even as badly as having to file bankruptcy, or they've gotten behind on house payments because you're not working. And maybe you had a job that required more than the unemployment. I mean, you don't get, if you make a ton of money, if you make $150,000 a year, you don't get, $12,000 a month from unemployment. I mean, it's caused a lot of people trouble, and people don't like to file bankruptcy, but it is an option. And Tad practices exclusively in Chapter 7 Fresh Starts and Chapter 13 Restructuring. It's not something I hope on any or wish on anybody, but it might be something that you want to talk to him about. And the good thing is you will talk to Tad Klimek. You won't talk to paralegals. You won't talk to assistants and that sort of thing. You'll talk to Tad. Consultations are free. No physical hearings right now. You can do it over the phone and video. So, I mean, it's really simple if you're having these problems. Yeah. You never need to leave the house. He's a big listener to the show. You can talk in drops.
Good dude.
He gets it. And in today's climate, it's more important than ever to call him. Go to klimeklawoffice.com. That's K-L-I-M-M-E-K, lawoffice.com. Tad is answering. So
you about to lose your job.
He won't hide any fees or costs. If you're feeling the pressure, visit klimeklawoffice.com. Take advantage now. Remember, know your options before you have
Buzzkill.
And here's the guy to keep you out of bankruptcy. Yes, it's Luke Nowacki, everybody. Luke Nowacki would love to help you with your financial planning. If you don't have a plan, you should, because it comes faster. Trust me, you get there. I remember going, 59 and a half? I'll never see that money. Here I am. Anyway, or getting the kids through college. I mean, 18 years. Yikes. Oh, my God, I got forever. But it goes fast. So you might want to plan ahead, or you may just want to know that you're in the right investments. Either way, no matter what it is, if it involves money and creating more of it, talk to Luke Nowacki, and you can email Luke at lnowacki. Is Luke on today?
I wanted to tell you about an investment opportunity.
Here it is.
Yeah, it's in there. Yeah.
I started to read the ERSI, Emergency Response Services, copying them, and I was already talking about Luke Nowacki, so I was winging it looking for Luke. Call Luke at 248-663-4748 or email him at lnowacki@pinnaclewealthstrategies.com. Security Investment Advisory Services offered by Reliance Associates, Incorporated, member FINRA's PC, Royal Associates, Incorporated, separately owned other entities of marketing and product service reference here, are independent of Royal Alliance Associates, Incorporated. Mace is looking for dishwashers, kitchen help. I mean, they've only been able to keep one person since reopening. We can't even open the mezzanine because we can't keep enough people.
Wow.
It's really tough. And are they going to extend the $600 a week thing?
Ew.
They're not going to?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either, because if they do, I can tell you this
much. Like being out in the real working world, working a real job, like getting out of the house, it just exhausts you. It really does. It's exhausting.
I don't know if we'll ever be able to expand to our mezzanine, which is a, you know, it's a bunch of tables. If the $600 a week keeps going, it's really hard. And some people, I mean, I guess people are still scared, although the kind of the age group of the people that work at Mesa, I wouldn't. Anyway, hoping to find some people. If you want to contact Mesa, just go to the website or send the show an email and I'll pass it forward. You know, give you an even better shot if you really want to work. There may be some incentives involved there, too. So, Jimmy Kimmel, you know, this blackface thing has been going. And when he said, I'm taking a couple months off, and he said, I've just worked for the last 18 years. I really need some time off. I totally took him at his word. And then someone sent me something they found online, and is a Christmas song. Jimmy Kimmel is the singer, and do you know what I'm talking about?
No, no idea.
Anyway, he throws the N-word out a few times, just not bleeped.
Who's this narc that sent that to you?
I don't remember off the top of my head, but it was. Here's what. This is the weird thing about it, and I got to tell you, I Googled it. You cannot find this online. Nobody wants Jimmy Kimmel to be canceled for this song, apparently, or because it was in a. Okay, when the Howard Stern thing came out, which, by the way, no cancellation, no nothing. I don't even think Howard's really apologized. He did say, if it was today, I probably wouldn't do it. No, I wouldn't do it. That's exactly what he said. In other words, he's saying, yeah, I don't like it either. But he didn't say, I'm so sorry, and I'm going to bring you know, three people from the NAACP in here, and we're going to discuss it properly. I mean, he just talked about it with Robin, and I think that was the end of it on the show. And nobody, he didn't even trend on Twitter. And Jimmy, honest to God, I cannot find this song.
Is it Christmas Time in the LBC from, from Kevin and Bean?
What's the LBC?
Long Beach, Long California. Beach.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Like Snoop.
Oh, we don't even have to play it, but. So now my homie, Dr. Dre, and me, we celebrate that day. Christmas time in the
LBC. A fat nigga in a sleigh giving shits away. That was it right there.
That's the song, and that's Jimmy.
Yeah!
And it comes up, you know, multiple times. So it's just not something you really want to have people finding.
Good one. Is this the real reason Kevin and Bean called it quits?
I don't think so.
They didn't say it. Well, but it's on their best of CD.
I don't know what year that's from. Is it 94, 93, somewhere in that neighborhood? It can't be in the last 10, 15 years, I don't think. But nonetheless,
I don't think that he should be.
I don't know.
Sucks.
We should not cancel people.
This up and you talk about Howard, but I don't want Howard in trouble.
You know, I never wanted Howard canceled. I am upset because all these other people are canceled, and then something really, really offensive comes along, and nobody pays attention because it's Howard Stern. That's just bullshit. And the same thing with Ice Cube. You can't be that serious. If you just let that fly, if that's okay, then this can't be that bad. I mean, it really depends on who you are and how people feel about you. And if you have politics attached to you, that will be the deciding factor. If somebody finds a video of James Woods word for word doing what Howard did in blackface, James Woods, well, he's already kind of canceled anyway. I mean, I don't know what James Woods is doing, but I mean, it would be a big flipping deal. It would absolutely trend because everyone on the left would retweet it and talk about it.
So now is Rogan the next one to be canceled?
No way. You know, too much money in Joe Rogan. But
they're trying.
Did you see what he did, though?
No, good luck. Let me just, well, we'll come back to that because it's interesting.
Is it that interesting? I mean, it's kind of silly.
I wanted to kind of explain it. Anyway, just let me finish with Kimmel real quick. So people are on Reddit talking about Howard and, oh, what's this new video? And people are, you know, talking about, oh, boy, this is really bad. And you can tell the people that like Howard are kind of scared, like, is this going to be the end of Howard? And a lot of other people are defending it like, hey, fuck him, man. This is 1993. And because it is ridiculous. It's what he did. If nobody was upset about it then, why would you be so upset about 27 years later? You can't put yourself in 1993. I agreed with him when he said, you know, if I had to do it over again, I probably wouldn't. I think what he meant was he didn't think it was that funny. And it was just kind of jarring. And I think his whole, he's evolved in his job.
And there, I think you hit the nail in the head. Are you allowed to evolve anymore?
Yeah, you are. But you're not allowed to make a mistake like that if you're certain people. Now, in that conversation on Reddit, somebody says, well, if that's so bad, what about this? And they throw the Jimmy Kimmel song on there. And I think it was off of somebody's Twitter or something from, I mean, it was like hiding in the bushes and somebody just threw it out there.
I mean,
yeah.
But Google Jimmy Kimmel sings N-word in Kevin and Bean and nothing.
But that's how I found it. I searched Jimmy Kimmel N-word.
Okay, tell me what's on there for that. Tell me what else you can Google.
Most of it's Howard. If you type in
that's,
Jimmy Kimmel
okay,
N-word.
That's what I meant. I didn't even get that. I did not get the YouTube thing. I don't know why. Maybe I missed it. Is it the first thing?
No.
Okay, well, you know, when I Google something, it's not on my page, like, right in front of me, I'm not going to just keep, you know, searching for, you know, 500 things. I just saw the Howard stuff, which is kind of weird. Boy, Google really picks on Howard on that one.
Yeah, I wonder why it's so tied in. He must have done a lot of times.
I think it's because that guy in the Reddit connected the two things. He said, oh, Howard is bad, we'll cancel Jimmy Kimmel, and he put the song up. And then people are commenting on the song. Jimmy Kimmel's like, what? And then I swear to God, Mark, it was like maybe 2 hours after I had just clicked on this thing, you know, on this guy's email or DM or whatever it was. And 2 hours later, hey, Jimmy Kimmel's taking a couple months off. Yeah, I've just been working straight. And couldn't help thinking, is it something to do with this? But I think it had been on Reddit for a few days. So,
hey, what better time to take some time off anyway?
I couldn't agree more.
Summer, the lost summer of 2020. There's going to be no sports. There's going to be nothing going on. We're all just going to wait for a vaccine.
Sports,
take it
there's
off.
Tons of Premier League on today. What are you talking about?
Oh, God.
Hey, you know what? I realized.
What?
I forgot. Oh, I was supposed to do emergency response services. Just got to get them in. If you hate water as much as I do, it's great to know Emergency Response Services Incorporated can take care of water for you. Water just sucks, man. It'll find its way, work its way. Anyway, it can get in your basement and fill it up, just like Bezos does, man. It wants to fill up your basement. That's why it's so nice to call 877-JOB-DONE. Just write it down in your refrigerator. 877-JOB-DONE, or hold it in your brain. And then when something terrible
happens, turn off the water.
The next time you're like, oh, my God! You'll be glad you wrote it down.
Next time you see a bunch
tremendous
of
amounts of water.
Tremendous amounts of water.
877jobdone.com is the website. And we're talking about storm damage, mold removal, fire damage, water, excessive water. It's just one of those things. This stuff happens. I wish it didn't.
I don't want to get too graphic, but she's got clear water coming out of her butt.
877-JOB-DONE. I don't know if they would take care of that or not. Emergency Response Services Incorporated. That's Emergency Response Services Incorporated. ERSI. ERSI. Call 877-JOB-DONE if you got a problem. So, Joe Rogan. You know, people keep trying to cancel him. And you know what? What's really weird, because when this all started, you know, it's funny. We got into podcasting in 2016. And I knew Joe Rogan as the guy on news radio. And the guy who did what's the show where he yells
Fear
all the
Factor.
Time? Fear Factor and a stand-up and UFC. And I'm not a big UFC fan, mm-hmm. but he's been doing it long enough that, you know, he's the guy that does all this stuff. And I don't think I knew he had a podcast then.
Oh, really?
I don't think I did when we started 4 years ago. I'm not sure I knew that he was doing a podcast. But then quickly I learned that Joe Rogan has the biggest podcast in the flipping world. And it was always kind of a, you know, podcasting, because even 4 years ago, it was kind of new. I mean, it really wasn't that new, but I mean, in terms of it really becoming in the mainstream, mm-hmm. I think it's now it's very much in the mainstream.
Yeah.
It was not, I don't think it was in 2016. I mean, there were so many
getting
people,
there, but yeah,
it was getting there, but you got so many people. What's a podcast? I mean, that came up all the time. It was really frustrating. And the people, you know, that found us, they were like, I'm there, man. And it didn't take long, and they'd show their dad or whoever else listened to that they could, and it was all good. But since then, she's just gotten bigger and bigger and bigger. And he also, I mean, I've noticed this, and maybe I'm wrong about this, but I've noticed that the mainstream media pays a lot more attention to Joe Rogan's podcast. Mm-hmm. When he has a big guest on, you'll probably read about it somewhere. You'll see clips of it on ABC News. You know, when he had Elon Musk on, or
he's got a newsmaker,
a few other people. I mean, and big guests have learned that, hey, if you want to reach 10 million people, go on Joe Rogan, which is a, I mean, that's a great, great, great place to be. But with all those wonderful things comes additional scrutiny.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that's what happened to Howard. Howard got in all those markets. And I think when Howard was just quietly doing his thing in New York, you know, you'd hear about it, but New York loved him. I mean, he was
Philly,
and then Philly, and then a lot of crazy shit was going on there on his show. But then he gets in all these markets, and then, you know, he almost got thrown off the station in Cleveland because he made a joke about the baseball pitchers, you know, hitting the dock.
Bobby Ojeda. And
No, I think they had a song. A song parody. I think it was Gilligan's Island. It might have, you know, Google that. I bet you can find it. I don't know if it's too soon. We were in the old building. We were on Northwestern Highway when that happened, because I remember that. I want to say it's like 93, 94.
Yeah, I'll look for it.
If you don't remember.
Go back to the 90s, Tigers!
I believe three Cleveland Indian players were drunk, and they were in a speedboat, and they were just tearing ass, and it was night, and they just hit a dock, like their heads hit the dock, and two guys died.
Yep.
And Bobby Ojeda was scalped, and they had to literally reattach. Oh, I mean, it was just terrible. And if Howard had been in New York like the old days, he could have played that, and it would have been nothing but laughs. People, hey, play it again! But Howard had signed on in Cleveland by then, and I'm kind of surprised he didn't realize that wouldn't go over well in Cleveland, and it didn't. But he stayed the course. But getting that large with all eyes on you from all corners of the, you know, all corners of the country, you know, some things that fly in New York will really piss people off somewhere else. So that's what Joe Rogan's going through now. So Joe Rogan, this is weird too, because I realized.
But he was always national. I mean, he was always available to be found by everybody.
Oh, sure he was. But I think he's now. He's in the mainstream. He's in the zeitgeist. He used to just be a podcast that had a shit ton of people listening. Yeah. Now he's really... Joe Rogan is as big as almost anything. I mean, how many things on TV get 10 million people watching it?
Yeah. No, and he's mainstream media now, yeah.
And his 10 million people, by the way, are listening very carefully for hours. You know, hours of content a week. Well, on Friday... and I didn't put the sequence of events together until I got Brandon's prep today, and it reminded me, because I had seen the second event on Saturday. Friday, Joe Rogan, who does this, I don't know how often it's a theme on a show, but he bitches about the media, and I agree with him for the most part. Anyway, he was pointing out that, hey, why is the media giving Joe Biden a pass on whatever is wrong with him, whether it's dementia or just old age? I mean, he's flubbing up a lot of shit. And if I saw a Trump ad before the show, by the way, it's all Biden flubs. And, you know, I don't know how much someone's flubbing really affects their presidency, but it's, you know, it's pretty visceral if you watch it. So he's talking about Biden and the media giving him a pass for just being kind of out of it. And I know there's a lot of people who've said, yeah, Joe's really not quite the same Joe Biden. Just put him in the bunker until Election Day and he'll win. And that might well be true. But anyway, people, in my opinion, were extremely angered by the fact that somebody was angered enough by the fact that he's pissing on Biden and the media that they went through old shows looking for something to be offended by. And hey, what do you know? They struck gold. In 2011, Joey Diaz is telling a story about sexually assaulting women. Well, I guess it's about sexually assaulting women. If he was telling the truth, he was sort of the comedy gatekeeper at a club in Los Angeles. I don't know which club it was. And he said that female comedians who wanted to get on stage, he would say, well, you got to blow me first. Mm-hmm. And so they're laughing and yucking it up.
Do you want me to play it?
Yeah, sure, sure.
And so this
all headline becomes Joe Rogan laughs at sexual assault.
And so the thread is really came out after the Chris D'Elia thing. So the
it came earlier than it came before the Joe Biden thing.
June 17th, LA comedy scenes full of creeps. Chris D'Elia is in the
first. Is that Thursday, June 17th?
I think it was last. Is that Wednesday? 2 seconds.
I'm just trying to get my
Wednesday.
Okay. I'm not sure when the Biden comment was. I thought it was on Friday. He trended a couple times with this.
So, yeah, no, and it took a life of its own. LA comics have dirt on each other, and that's why they're always afraid to call one another out. Joe Rogan knows about most of it and still gives him a huge platform. And this person puts up multiple clips, not just this one, but this is the first clip they put up.
She's lucky she paid $100. I had girls sucking my dick and giving me coke from Chewy. You think I'm fucking kidding you? Fuck yeah, you gotta suck my dick to get up in the belly room. I'll make a call for you. That's the fucking gateway into coming to Hollywood. Everybody.
Now, I would like to point out that as soon as you start saying that, Rogan's eyes get big. Like, are you kidding me? And then laugh. So is he laughing at what the guy did, or is he laughing that the guy did it?
You know she paid $100. I had girls sucking my dick and giving me coke from Chewy. You think I'm fucking kidding you? Fuck yeah, you gotta suck my dick to get up in the belly room. I'll make a call for you. That's the fucking gateway into coming to Hollywood. Everybody knows that.
How many girls did you have do that?
Oh, 20 of them. I had this little blonde open mic chick dog that used to come up to the comedy store at 20 and just take me up to the belly room and suck my dick, then go do her set. She was tremendous.
Wow.
She finally freaked out. When she got to Hollywood, bro, she was beautiful. And when she left, she had dirty fucking, her nails were dirty. And then a year later, she wrote me a letter to the comedy store. You cocksucker, you broke me. I kept shooting sperm balls in her fucking ear ball. Every time she went down, vaya palapinga! It ain't broken.
Cool.
Yeah, that's really funny. Okay, here's
And then this person posts a lot of, I know a comedian that we kind of like, Nick DiPaolo. You know, I guess him laughing at stuff Nick DiPaolo said. So it's.
I just want to say this about the Joey Diaz thing you just heard. It's trending on Twitter, and you know, I had wrongly connected it to the Joe Biden thing because didn't it trend on Wednesday or Thursday?
I didn't see it until the weekend.
Okay. Anyway, I think it was trending for the second time, and I kind of connected it to the Joe Biden thing because I don't know. Otherwise, I'm not sure why it would have suddenly trended, but it's a 2011 show, the Joey Diaz one. And so I'm convinced that Joe's shows are long too. Somebody is mad about something, and they're just going through show after show after show after show trying to find that cancelable moment. I mean, that's my guess. Why would
that takes a lot of time.
I know it does, but
I can't even go back in June and log our commercials. It takes so long.
Here's what you do. Skip anything up to 2016, because in the last 4 years, people are watching their what they say more carefully. The further you go back, the looser it's going to be. Isn't it?
Okay, yeah.
I mean, that's my guess.
Times have changed.
So, but you can't tell me that, man, Joey Diaz is so big, all of his appearances on shows, people are constantly listening to him.
Yeah.
No, somebody went and found that, didn't they? Don't you believe that?
Yeah, no, and I think that anybody who's done a show for a long period of time, you can go back in anybody and find one sentence or one specific moment where they laughed at something or they talked about something. You can, if you really want to, you can cancel anybody.
Well, people take stuff out of context all the time, too. But let me say this about Joe Rogan. Okay, so cancel Joe Rogan is trending. And I'm reading these tweets today and these comments. And, in fact, I saw one. It wasn't catching quite enough fire. So the whole boycott Spotify thing came up, which is boycott Spotify because here's one tweet. Spotify, do you condone this? If Spotify doesn't condemn this, we should boycott Spotify.
Why don't they?
And that's from Parkland survivor David Hogg.
Why doesn't he boycott him for say?
Why is David Hogg? I mean,
are they do have
Parkland,
all?
Is he Parkland survivor the rest of his life? By the way, was he shot at Parkland?
Well, I mean, he was there.
But
fuck you.
Did bullets go over him? Hit people near him? Because I thought they said that. He was off campus at the time or something. He came on campus while the aftermath was going. And I mean, not that it doesn't.
They also said he's a crisis actor.
What type of shitty person does that?
I mean, do you have to have bullets whizzing by your head to have been affected by Parkland?
I totally think he was affected. Parkland survived. I guess it's a matter of the word survivor.
Sure.
I used to think if somebody survived World War II, they probably were injured in the war, and you know. But now surviving World War II could be somebody with PTSD who was here.
But it's really interesting. Why doesn't he go after Spotify for, say, playing Tekashi 6ix9ine's songs are all on there?
Here's the thing.
XXXTentacion. I mean, there's a lot of music that I think would be that they wouldn't condone the lyrics of that they still stream. So it's
let me say this about Joe Rogan. Joe Rogan is too much money. And now that he's connected to Spotify, he's even more bulletproof because he's too big to just go, you said that. They're just not going to cancel him. It's not going to happen. There's too much money involved, and that's part of the problem. But why is it cancel Joe Rogan and not cancel Joey Diaz? Joey Diaz said it.
Yeah.
Joey Diaz says that he sexually assaulted 20 people.
Yeah.
Joe Rogan laughed once and canceled Joe Rogan.
Because Joe Rogan's bigger.
No, people
bigger.
Are mad at Joe. There's some reason. Is it because he said he likes Bernie Sanders? I mean, and people are mad because it wasn't Biden? I mean, remember, that was a big deal, too. And people are mad at Bernie Sanders for accepting his endorsement because Joe doesn't have enough female guests on. I mean, what? This is just getting so fucking over the top. But, you know, Joey Diaz, I guess nobody cares about Joey Diaz. He can go on sexually assaulting people and nobody will mind because he's Joey Diaz.
Take it easy.
No one knows who Joey Diaz is. That's why.
Yeah, he was in Spider-Man 2.
Hold on. If you were that upset by the clip, though, you'd be 500 times madder at Joey Diaz.
Yeah.
And you would want to cancel him first. This is not logical. This is all anger, revenge. It's just bullshit.
Yeah. They just don't like somebody.
They don't like them because they don't agree with them, or they like the political party they don't like, or they just don't like them, or they're jealous of them, or they had some personal beef with them. And so anybody who hates Joe Rogan and found that clip and didn't want Joey Diaz canceled and then get to Joe Rogan is full of shit, if you ask me, because they don't mind Joey Diaz. They don't even want to cancel him. They're not even bothered by it. They don't even mention his name.
It's really interesting looking at the guy who first put these out there last Wednesday.
Who is that, by the way?
Can we
cancel the cancel people? I mean, this guy's...
He says he's a shift manager at P.F. Chang's, but I wonder, you know, what kind of history or past. Maybe they were in the, you know, comedy scene in L.A. and they just have a bone to pick.
He's a shift manager at P.F. Chang's?
P.F. Chang's.
P.F. Chang's. I doubt he ever really got near Joe Rogan's level of comedy.
Well, no, but maybe he knew him back. I'm just saying, maybe his bone to pick with him goes back.
What else does he tweet about?
He's got another one about Chris D'Elia, and he's basically saying that, you know, Whitney Cummings knew all about this. All these other people.
No, he's a shitster. That's all he is.
Yeah.
Whitney came out this weekend and basically said, I do not have your back. Is it D'Elia?
I don't know.
I don't even know. I don't think he's that funny. I got to tell you, I don't know why Bieber loves him so much, and we'll get to Bieber's cancellation next. I have a feeling, I hate being this way, but I have a feeling.
Here's another one this guy, too. I don't even know who Michael Anocci is, another stand-up comedian. But he writes, here's Michael Anocci's business card. He opens for Chris D'Elia. And the guy's business card, that's his website.com. And it says comedian/actor. And it's got like five boxes you can choose. Like the conversation lulled. So I did something to break the boredom. I saw weakness in your eyes. And I think, and so the very last one is, I want to sleep with you. And he'd write his number on there. It's pretty creepy, but pretty ingenious at the same time.
Funny,
I mean, that's, you know, it's not raised.
But he opens for Chris D'Elia.
But
like, are you kidding me?
You're allowed to give someone your number.
Oh, my God. So this guy, the shift manager at P.F. Chang's, he just sits around, you know, on his computer looking for people he can suggest cancellations for. He gets to Joe Rogan, and then he connects Chris D'Elia with the guy that opened who opens for him. I mean, is there a guy that Chris D'Elia ever opens for? You can cancel him too, the headliner. Then you got a bigger fish.
Probably Louis, yeah.
What the fuck? And Chris D'Elia, by the way, was reading about his big move when he got two girls.
Here's another tweet by this guy. I won't stop posting clips about comedians being rapists and racists. You can continue defending these guys because you don't want to lose your weekly content from your cult leader. If they go down, it's not on me. They did it to themselves by being garbage. I simply pointed it out.
You know, maybe you're right. Maybe this guy did work in comedy. He sure has a bone to pick with comedy. But, you know, for all this, it just kills me how
this guy is mad at that Joey Diaz too, for whatever that's worth. He just wants everybody involved that laughed at
nobody
a joke
else is,
to
I
be
mean,
canceled.
There were a lot of canceled Joe Rogans, and nobody mentions canceled Joey Diaz.
I'm sure the people that retweet that probably don't do a deep dive and actually watch the clip or learn more about it.
Yeah, so they don't care. They just don't like Joe Rogan.
Yeah.
So, Delia, and I got to tell you, this is so fucking commonplace. If we actually start hearing about all these people, because, you know, there's been so much talk about the thin blue line. And, you know, when Weinstein, when that started up, remember all the people saying, oh, I had no idea. Oh, Harvey Weinstein's mean. He assaulted. Oh, my God. I'm so sorry I was in his movies. They all knew.
Yeah.
There's no way they all knew. Everybody knew. And not only that, some people knew why certain people were never working. Because Harvey didn't like them. Because they didn't know that Harvey got turned down for sex. Maybe they didn't know that, but they knew Harvey didn't like them, so they weren't going to suggest using him.
They knew.
I'm sorry, I'm still going through this guy's Twitter. He really wants HBO, New Line Cinema, and Warner Brothers to cancel the upcoming Sopranos movie because Joey Diaz is in it. I have a feeling, I'm not joking, I have a feeling if they can, they're going to edit Joey Diaz out like they did Ask Gary's Kid from Siesta Key. You'll see the back of his head or something.
Well, you know, that conversation on Rogan's show, he sounds serious to me. I don't.
Oh, the comedian? Yeah, he sounds like an asshole.
I think I would. I don't think I would want him in The Sopranos because honestly, he can't be a main player in the movie, is he?
He sounds like the cheese balls guy. Where are my cheese balls?
Is he really funny? I don't even know him.
I've never heard of him. No.
Okay.
He wasn't funny there.
Well, Chris Dealey, anyway.
My cheese balls.
By the way.
My cheese balls are right here.
So, one more note on this guy's Twitter. It's brand new. So whoever's doing it.
Oh, it's, yeah.
Whoever's doing it is not this guy.
There's someone else.
It just started. The first tweet was about.
You know, take responsibility. If you're going to run around being the morality police, can't you at least tell us who you are? I mean, really, that is fucking lame.
Yeah. So
now he does put clips out, so you can't really argue with a clip too much.
It's easy to hide behind a microphone, son.
I'm with Ditka. I stand with Ditka.
Is he some guy that is Rogan not taking this guy to Spotify with him? I'm going to search
Rogan.
This photo, too, by the way. How do you do that again, Brandon?
I think you just throw it, drag the photo into Google, right-click it, search for Google.
I wanted to mention Delia's big move with these two girls who, you know, God help good-looking women who really want to meet stars, because I think we could probably get stories for the next 10 years if we just begged people, hey, have you ever met a star? I mean, if we just found, I don't know, thousands and thousands of hot women and asked them to share meeting stars stories, we'd get a whole lot of them. And I bet you a lot of them are really bad. Delia meets these two girls. Hey, there's a party up in my room, you know, and they go up to the room and it's just Chris.
It's crazy.
What's up with that? So he, and by the way, he sounds like just a bad guy. Just a really fucking bad guy who likes underage girls, and he's 40, and he's, you know, that's really creepy to me. I don't know. Dennis Miller and I had that big argument on the air. I stand with myself because he was saying that, you know, you don't know anybody. You don't know anybody. How do you know them? And I said, well, there's certain things you can infer by, and you know, he wanted to know what I meant. And I brought up Jerry Seinfeld was dating a 17-year-old and he's 39 years old. And I thought that was kind of weird. Say, you know, Jerry, you don't know, you know, and I stand with myself. Anyway, the two girls go up there and immediately is foisting beers on them. And hey, you want a shot of tequila? He's not drinking. And I guess he doesn't drink, but he likes the girls to drink. They're really kind of creeped out because there's nobody else in the room. And he's getting handsy with both of them. I think he was rubbing, trying to put his hand on somebody's ass, and I think he was touchy-feely with the other girl, too. But anyway, so they're totally creeped out. They want to leave. They announce that they're leaving. They're putting their coats on, and he pulls his erection out and says, hey, would this change your mind?
His erection.
He attempts the nude move. Like, what am I going to lose?
When all else fails,
Will this change your mind?
Yeah.
That is a bold move.
Like my erection selection?
Well, I think by the time, you know, you're getting a little handsy and they want to leave, I don't think your erection is going to pull them over the top.
I gotta say, it must be one hell of a dick if he thinks he could.
What do you think? You like my exquisite erection?
I don't know.
I mean, that guy's got a lot of confidence in his dick, doesn't he?
He does. I have to give him credit for that.
In his head, oh my God, they're leaving. They don't like
it. Gotta pull the hard dick out.
Dick out. Yeah, this will do it.
Let's see. Hey, do the hard. Let's see.
You know, there's erections that men get in the morning just because they have to pee.
Wait, girl, shut up for a second. I'm thinking. You sure you leave?
How about this?
I just didn't think it was I thought it was a bad move. I thought they're already gone. You already offended them. You've told them like six lies already that they know.
Are you guys sure you want to leave?
Hang on, let me just ask my boner. Oh yeah, he's fine with it.
So maybe that's what he's saying.
Oh my goodness, does he ever get him hard?
Maybe he was saying that his boner was totally cool with him leaving.
Oh boy, I wonder if he's finished.
Delia?
Yeah.
Well, doesn't he have that? He has a deal with Netflix, doesn't he?
I think that's gone.
I don't know. Does Netflix fold that easily?
Yeah, they have on certain people. Danny Masterson, no charges, just a lot of talk. They blew him off.
Netflix did?
Yeah.
What did Masterson have there?
He was on a show on Netflix.
He was on The Ranch. He was one of the main characters on there, too, where played Ashton Kutcher's
brother.
That's
Ashton's show.
And then they just wrote him off like, oh, he mysteriously vanished on his motorcycle one night.
Delia, was he playing a pedophile on the Netflix show?
Yeah.
They can't have. There's no way that's going to happen. Is that show still on?
Maybe it's life impersonating art.
Oh, are you talking about the Chris D'Elia one?
Yeah. You can't have a guy who's a pedophile playing a pedophile on a Netflix show. That's not going to work.
Well, who? Oh, boy. I don't want to sound like Matt Damon here, but whose crimes are worse, D'Elia's or Danny Masterson's?
Matt Damon. Well, but Danny Masterson, he's been charged now. I thought that was. I wouldn't want either one of them in my show. But you can't. Yeah. I wouldn't want Chris D'Elia playing a pedophile. That's fucking crazy.
I can't
believe knowing he knows what he does.
Yeah.
I can't believe he play a pedophile. I really can't. And in fact, I think it was some girl that saw the show who was totally freaked out.
But he doesn't think he did anything wrong.
Well, you know, if he wants to, he can keep doing what he's doing. I mean, I got a feeling he's got some career issues at the moment.
And his Netflix stuff are still up there, too.
Oh, so he's still on the show?
Well, his stand-up specials are still on there.
There's a few things that have come down already. And I noticed that I think his podcast is still up, but I didn't see an episode on the due date on Friday. Or Thursday, or whatever it's supposed to be.
Did you see Delia's apology tweet?
Yeah, it's bullshit.
What an asshole.
It's total bullshit. He's and you know, again, there were a lot of comedians who said, "Man, not surprised at all." So, you know, I think there's a thin blue line in a lot of businesses. Whether it's Harvey Weinstein and people going, "I'm not going to tell on Harvey because if nothing happens, I'm not going to get cast here anymore."
Yeah.
And, you know, the same thing with some of these comedians. Apparently, they don't feel right doing it. But I hate when they act like I had no idea, because they think they're going to be in trouble. Because, you know, we do go after people. I firmly believe that whoever commits the crime commits the crime. I don't know why all these other people get so
complicit.
The complicit people, unless there is a reason, I mean, a specific reason. Anyway, let's.
If you're covering something else, something up.
Let's come back to. There's some other items to get to today. Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram at DealsNadee.com is all fired up. Everybody's back to work, and you can make appointments. You can come in. You can do whatever you want. You can have them deliver a car. You can do it all on Zoom if you want. Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram has their Drive Forward event. Go online, enjoy their enhanced online shopping experience, and check out their unprecedented deals. The 2020 Ram Quad Cab Bighorn, only $188 a month. Jeeps, they got a 2020 loaded Jeep Compass at $125 a month. There's the 2020 Jeep Grand Cherokee as low as $247 a month. And the Wrangler gets out employee pricing for everyone. 0% financing and $1,500 in rebates if you want a new Jeep Wrangler right now. Speaking of right now, you better hurry because production was shut down and inventory's drying up. Best selections today. Get the party started at dealsinthed.com.
So NASCAR is a big race right now today. It's being delayed. And do you see the response? Because what was the biggest NASCAR news most recently before this race?
No. What about NASCAR? You like NASCAR?
Oh, the Confederate flag.
So
they have no fans, though, right?
No, but they had a plane flying overhead, and they had the Confederate flag being dragged by the plane, and said, "Defund NASCAR." So is that company that flies the banner going to be canceled? And then there are also a bunch of cars that drove around the venue with their, like, look, here's the Confederate flag protest.
Yeah, boy.
And then people across the street setting up, selling Confederate flags.
Check this car out I saw the other day. It's like Zuv's car, the little smart car.
Yeah.
It's the General Lee smart car. I saw it driving around my neck of the woods.
Does it have the
even
Confederate
got
flag?
The Confederate flag on the top.
Yeah. Did I hear that Dukes of Hazzard is canceled or being canceled? Like, can't be rerun anymore or something?
I don't know. Am I canceled because that was my favorite show? Yes, when I was five or six.
If you're a man facing divorce, you need Adam, the American Divorce Association for Men. With Adam, you can get divorced without losing your house or kids. And during the pandemic, Adam is offering a 10% discount to healthcare workers because they know people on the front line need to get divorced too. So call Adam at 248-356-2326. 248-356-ADAM. And I guess that business is up. People are a lot of stress over, you know, we've had these two events just, I mean, pounded into our brains. However you look at them, you can't escape them. And if you're, you know, in a household where people don't necessarily agree about them, or I don't know, you know, somebody doesn't want to wear a mask, but just being cooped up too. So, yeah, call Adam if that's the right thing for you. And let's see, why don't we take a break from cancellations? I want to come back to Bieber, though. I think that story's, well, let's just talk about Bieber. Might as well just tie it in with this. Does this Bieber story, would it surprise anyone if it was true?
Tell me the story. I don't know the whole story.
So I know of, like, in the past, I remember seeing a lot of stories about Justin Bieber, who obviously chicks dig, chicks loved him. And in the past, I've always known him to make women sign the NDAs. And then every once in a while, someone would take a picture in the bed with him, you know, after they just got done banging or something like that. So I know that he's obviously had his pick of the litter when it comes to women, but this is a little different.
This is different. No, you're right, Brandon. And this is what happens now when people his age get really famous, which they do. I think we have more, don't we have more 16, 17-year-olds getting really famous and really rich than we ever did?
Oh, sure. I mean, just the social media aspect alone. So these TikTok stars are big stars before they're even 16 years old. There's ones that get famous when they're 14, 15, 16, 17.
Bieber's been, I mean, he's been super duper famous. And I've read multiple stories about him, and it all just sounds like it is such a process, or it was. You know, when he was really out there and getting wild, it was this business of, you know, round the girls up, take the phones, tie the phones up, you know, whatever happens, happens, give them the phones back, bye, you know, that sort of thing. And it sounded like it was a routine, and he and his entourage had it all down to a science, just like the what's his name, Chris Brown. You know, they take the phones. That's the girl that claimed she was raped. So the first thing when she got in the room, they took her phone. And then the other girl who said she was kidnapped when he got into it with the LAPD, she said she had her phone taken. And then when she went to get her phone, I guess, I don't remember what the event was, because they seemed like they were at a party and she wanted to meet him, and she's in a VIP area. They took her phone. And then she said, yeah, give me my phone back. And they said, well, you got to go to his house. There's an after party to get your phone. And it was like, oh, I see. That's a way to get the, you know, get a nice piece of ass out to the house. And you have a little thing over her. I gotta tell you, I think this whole business of taking people's phones is complete bullshit. Because your phone is your lifeline in a lot of cases. Mm-hmm. You know, whether it's call 911 or maybe a family member trying to reach you or whatever, but you know, this idea that, well, you know, I'm a big star, so I can't have some peasant like you taking pictures of my shit with your phone.
Plus, a lot of people have their health information on there now. They have
But the thing is, there's only one reason.
Life is tied on there.
There's only
one money.
There's only one reason to take the phone, and that's because this is somebody you don't know and you don't trust them. So you're saying,
call 911.
No, bring that hot ass in here, but give me your phone.
Yeah,
it's a power imbalance. It is a power imbalance. I mean, literally.
You don't have to go in there, though.
Well, no, you don't. But here's the thing. Just women like, they're always going to go in there.
Yeah,
that will never stop. I guarantee it. It's been going on as long as there's been stardom. There have been women wanting stars.
Yeah.
And in their worst interests in most of the cases.
Yeah, just like, you go to see a show and you have to lock your phone up now, like a comedy show.
Yeah, that's different than going to someone's basement and get your phone locked up, or going to their hotel room.
I can text her into this dude anyway.
And getting your phone locked up.
Well, the difference is there's, 1,000 people at a comedy show.
I bet you Paul McCartney would have done the same thing in 1969.
I don't think Paul McCartney invites a bunch of... maybe he did in 1969. maybe 1964. In 1964, I bet they would have been locking up. They would have had to lock up phones. But I don't know. I hate this. I just think it's
my pubes. Joke's on you. I don't have any.
Did you guys know Bieber was accused on Twitter in 2017?
No. Mm-mm.
He was. By a girl who got so berated by the Beliebers that she pulled her post down. She just flipped out. She was like, oh, my God. I mean, this is almost worse than what happened to me. And that's what I've noticed, that this is the case with a lot of people. If you've got that fan base that is just almost your cult, you never, just like Jackson's fan base. Jackson's fan base, you can show them every little boy that he messed around with, literally show a videotape of him, I don't know, making them spread their cheeks while he beats up, whatever.
They lie.
And they'll still say, no, he didn't know how old they were. He thought they were 19.
Yeah.
No, he thought that was a girl.
They're all jealous of those boys.
No, I mean, when people have that cult-like fervent following, they will never just condemn them for anything.
Just like all those people that love Joe Rogan, like that Twitter account said, your comedian cult.
Yeah.
Look how long it took to get R. Kelly.
Sure.
Yeah. Look how long that took. It's because even his fellow stars couldn't bear to think of not working with R. Kelly or R. Kelly getting in trouble. I mean, they weren't going to say anything.
They make him money.
So anyway, this thing comes out. And has Justin Bieber said anything yet? He hasn't, has he?
I haven't seen anything.
I don't think he's responded. But the name Justin Bieber, it just kills me. I just feel like you can't be more than 11 and be named Justin Bieber.
Yeah. Or
Justin Bieber's coming to play video games, Mom!
or Justin. I don't know. Is that a fairly new name?
It's Justin? The Justin Bieber. It's the whole name.
I think he ruins it for other Justins.
I feel like there's some law in effect that you have to always call him Justin Bieber. You can't just call him Bieber or Justin.
Or Biebs. I mean, at least Biebs. Timberlake is JT sometimes.
Yeah.
Well, anyway.
Like Justin Long.
He doesn't like farts.
Thank you, Justin. Learn.
Danielle tweeted out a story. Of course, she is getting so much shit. I mean, the social media, just the general mobs in this world, the mobs are running the world. It's fucking crazy. Danielle says she was raped in 2014 by Justin Bieber at a Scooter Braun event where it was some special event, and Bieber came and sang a few songs. And Danielle is at this with a couple of her friends, and two guys come up and say, hey, we work for Justin Bieber, and he would like you to come to an after-show party. Mm. So the girls...
Nice job, by the way.
I know.
Procuring chicks for Biebs.
You know how many guys have had that job? Yeah. I mean, that job...
it's just weird. I mean, I know how old is Biebs then? 2014, when he did this?
How old is Bieber now? I don't even know. He seems like he's 21. He's probably 26 or something.
Been around forever.
But he was in that pretty wild phase around 14.
He's 26
15.
Now.
So he's been 20.
Yeah.
Maybe 19. So she goes, she said, I went to the Four Seasons and her friends came too. And Bieber leads her into another room. And she's like, what? And Bieber starts kissing her. and starts making out, kissing down her body, gets to her jeans, pulls her jeans off. And Danielle, I can't laugh at this, but she said she was thinking, well, what about Selena?
Gomez?
Yeah, Selena Gomez.
What about Hillary?
I know. To me, I thought of Paula Jones and how beat red Bill got. You know, he's like, yeah, I got my dick out here, Paula Jones. How do you think? And she's, what about Hillary? And he turns beat red. And there were a few people who said, when she said he turned beat red, I believed her.
Well, what he actually should have said to Paula Jones is,
hang on, let me just ask my boner. Oh, yeah, he's fine with it.
Let me just ask my boner.
So she said this whole thing's going on in her head as he takes more clothes off. You know, did I agree to do this? And where are my friends? And how will Selena react? Is this okay?
Don't look at me!
So anyway, it goes further, like almost all the way. And she said, this is going too far, and I need to find my friends. And Peeps' response was, oh, she also said she felt guilty because she knew he had a girlfriend, Selena.
Yeah.
Peeps says, relax, they're okay. About
she's
her friends?
Cool with it, yeah.
And they go, who the fuck is this Selena? What are you talking about here? And he ends up having sex with her.
Yeah.
Relax, your friends are fine.
Maybe how would he know? She went in and wanted to lay a couple of guys and it got out of hand. I don't know, you know. It happened.
That's Bieber's response.
Selena.
I don't know, you know. It happens.
It's isn't it sort of cute that she thought he hadn't really thought about Selena?
Oh, that's so much. Well, he wasn't, yeah.
Well, he'd probably fucked 19 girls since the last time he saw her. So he forces himself on her.
We can hear him banging all over the house.
She makes it, I mean, she felt she was raped, I think, or sexually assaulted. I don't know. But anyway, she posts this thing up. So within, I guess, a fairly short time, Allison Kay of Scooter Braun Productions posts underneath it, this story is factually impossible.
Factually impossible?
Sounds like something Alan Dershowitz would say.
Is the date off? Is that what it is?
She said that the night of the show, Justin Bieber stayed in an Airbnb where I was.
Oh, did he rape you too?
She said his reservation started the next night, March 10th, not March 9th. And it was not at the Four Seasons. It was at the Westin.
Did she reply and go, that's right, I had the date off by one. And you're right, it was at the, yeah, I wasn't at the Four Seasons. You're right. Thank you for setting me straight and reminding me where he raped me.
Well, first of all, does anyone believe
you are about to lose your job?
Allison Kay is Scooter Braun's.
Yeah.
Like,
Scooter Braun Productions is his first in charge when he's not around.
Yeah.
Okay. Does anyone believe Justin Bieber would be staying at the Westin Hotel? I don't.
Nope.
That
nope.
sounds
Four Seasons
preposterous
all the way.
Yeah. To me.
Yep. Yep.
Do you know the story?
I don't know the story.
I was trying to think about this in my head, and I'm going, would Justin Bieber stay at an Airbnb?
That I could see.
If it was nice enough, maybe, I guess.
If it's a very nice one, yeah, very expensive.
I just can't imagine him not, well, I guess it could be more private.
Yeah.
I guess that could be easier, but they've got that stuff down.
I've seen girls do this.
But the whole business of, the story's factually impossible!
Yeah.
So she's one day
she can
off
have a date
at
off.
The yeah. most. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Justin Bieber was at an Airbnb. So anyway, influencer Katie, K-A-D-I, she jumps into this fray with, I believe Danielle. And she reveals that March the 4th, 2015, she went to meet and try and get a picture of Justin Bieber. And I quote her, like any other Beliebers when he's in New York. I guess all the Beliebers. I know, it's just, this is so dumb. I mean, this is amazing. So she gets there, I guess around 7 p.m., and the way it sounded like there were like hundreds of people just standing outside waiting for Justin Bieber to emerge.
Oh, yeah, that sounds about right.
And then at some point while she's down there, this bodyguard, whose name she has, his correct name, she said so-and-so came down. She has a screenshot of the conversation. He's like, yeah, stick around. We're going to make this work out or something like that.
Once again, nice job.
I know. So like an hour later, she says, what's going on? And he says, oh, I'm sorry, I've been drinking beer, LOL. And he says, yeah, I want to bring you up here for a beer. Ugh. And so he goes down, and she says, well, I don't, they won't let me in. I guess she'd already tried to get, girls were trying to get in, and, you know, this poor hotel. Anyway, he says, I have to come down and get you. So he comes down and gets her. And she
I've
goes,
seen girls do that.
He goes up there. He's in a big suite at the Langham Hotel. She's very specific, by the way, with everything in her story. So there were five girls there. She knew one of their names. She has a text stream with this other girl, too. She said that his hairstylist was there from Florida, I guess a guy, and somebody named Kyle Massey. That might be the bodyguard? Is that a friend? I don't know.
Does that name sound familiar?
It does sound familiar. So she says that, you know, these five girls, of course, they're trying to desperately to, you know, impress Biebs.
He's an actor.
And, okay. And
he was he was a Disney. He was Corey.
He was Corey in the house.
Yep.
She starts talking French to Justin because Justin's from Quebec, I guess.
Yeah.
And he speaks French. So this, you know, is going on. And she says Bieber just like takes her by the hand and starts pulling her.
The French.
And ends up dragging her into the other part of the suite and locks the door.
Oh, jeez.
And she's like, you know, why are you locking the door? And, you know, she's a little on guard right away. Well, she doesn't get very specific about this, but it sounds to me like she might be Muslim.
Oh, huh.
Because she said that Bieber got on top of her and got very physical, very fast, and very aggressive. And she was thinking about the fact that she has to be a virgin when she's married, or she will bring shame on her family. And just the way she was discussing
Good job.
And she may be Christian. I don't know. Just the shame part sounded. Didn't sound like, I don't know, anyway. I don't know, she didn't say. She told him that she was a virgin, she didn't want sex, and Bieber, she said, just kept going, and eventually
Well, once again, he said,
hang on, let me just ask my boner. Oh, yeah, he's fine with it.
What an asshole.
She said she had to kick him and just run out of the room. And so in this post, she said that she had not told... She told her sister. She didn't tell anyone else in her family. She feared being called a whore or, you know, judgment. And she's been in some kind of mental health treatment. Yeah, she said she has attempted suicide because of this event. Nice going, Biebs.
You made her try and commit suicide, Justin Bieber.
Sorry. I can't think of one name without the other. I don't know what it is. So,
just so we get his rocks off.
She's the one who put this story out on Twitter in 2017 when the Me Too thing kicked in. Mm-hmm. And she was berated so badly she took it down. But I don't know, that story sounds really bad. I think this is so the wrong way to...
I don't know, you know, it happened.
Adjudicating something on Twitter is just a horrible idea. But I really, really... I just read a lot about what was going on around that time. It just sounded like there was a lot of trapping of girls and, you know, all the stuff that these guys, and this shit goes on all over. The YouTube stars do it. And, you know, every time it comes true in some way that's verifiable, it's always I mean, especially in music, it's just part of the ball game, which is terrible, but it just, I don't know. And Bieber, one of the reasons, this is weird, one of the reasons I was inclined to believe this is because Bieber had such a big mea culpa last year.
And
he sounded like he so regretted that part of his life. And he recently said he wishes he was a virgin when he got married. Which I thought was cool. Well, when you nail 10,000 girls,
you
I mean...
You think that he's a perfect, flawless work of art, but the truth is he's a human, and that means he farts. Yes, even Justin Bieber has to let one go. Sometimes Justin Bieber farts. Yeah, Justin Bieber farts. I know you don't want to think about it, but Justin Bieber farts. Now that this inconvenient truth has been expressed by me, all the girls are responding with hostility. They say Justin Bieber is perfect. He would never let out a sting.
He's Justin Bieber.
He's so beloved and adored by girls across this nation. They don't want to think about him involved in flatulation. They're in denial. They don't want to think.
The wannabe Justin Bieber.
About Justin Bieber farting. But it happens every day.
I don't know, you know.
Justin Bieber farts. And then he waves his hand to make the stink go away. Justin Bieber farts.
The punk thinks his shit don't stink. Well, just to let you know,
your shit does stink.
Oh, that was great. What a well done
Pretty
song.
Brilliant.
Breaking news with Mort Krim.
Ready for the breaking news?
Sure.
On this special Father's Day, somebody has announced that they are becoming a father. And it is Elian Gonzalez, ladies and gentlemen.
What?
At age 26, he's knocked somebody up.
Help me, help me.
Should we call Donato to get comment?
I thought he was like 9 by now.
My God, America, what did you do to this boy?
What the fuck? Yeah,
I hope he
Donato.
Names the child Donato.
We should.
We call, you want to call Donato?
Yeah, we should call Donato. But I was going to ask, did you find any numbers for the autonomous zone? The chop in
you know,
Seattle?
It's hard because I found some and I called some and they didn't answer.
I mean, any of the businesses? Because there's businesses there. Oh,
yeah.
They don't answer. Maybe
I found
down.
Some like restaurants that just didn't answer. So let me look at a couple more.
All right. The Chop Zone, by the way. I mean, who didn't know that this was a bad idea? You can't expect people to just suddenly, spontaneously decide 6 blocks are theirs and we'll take care of the policing and we don't need police. Police are terrible. In fact, 2 people were shot on, was it Friday night?
Yeah, over the weekend.
I think one's dead and the other one was critical, I heard. And the police couldn't get in because people were calling saying there was a shooting. And the police felt it was too threatening a situation because they were getting all this pushback. No, we don't need you. We got it handled. And I got to tell you, I cannot believe this has gone on this long. Are you guys surprised by this?
What aspect of it?
That you can take over 6 city blocks in prime Seattle real estate and nobody stops you.
I mean, I don't know. Yeah, I guess I'm surprised, but...
It's just a block
You're not flabbergasted? I'm flabbergasted.
No, I mean, I
if somebody takes over the street I live on, I'm going to be fucking out of my head. Yeah. I mean, if somebody took over your street and they wouldn't let the police in, I mean, that wouldn't blow your mind.
See, I've seen such misleading information about that or contradictory information.
Okay, no, I have too. It's a lot of poetry readings and, you know, which, by the way, also sucks.
Yeah, well, that's the worst part about it.
I don't care what they're doing. You can't tell me that I can't call the police and get them in here.
See, that's one of the conflicting pieces of information. I said, yeah, the response times are way down, clearly, because they don't have a precinct there. But at the same time...
they couldn't get in Friday night. They wouldn't let them in.
Okay, that's what I read that was conflicting. But.
Oh, that the police did get in?
Yeah.
Well, I think they brought the victims to the police. I heard they were not letting the police inside the barricade. Or they were at least negotiating. But I can't even believe we're arguing about this because I don't know. I would go fucking out of my mind. If I own property, I own property, and it's not your property. I don't care if you say this is a new nation. Fuck you. I expect somebody to come in and take care of it.
There's the real question. What are the business and the owners of the property saying about it?
Well, I think they – it's kind of mixed. Some people, I think they say they're – well, yeah, we're getting business. Some people feel very threatened by it. And a lot of people are getting their windows spray painted and, you know, the front of their building has messages on it that they're not necessarily happy about. Not because maybe they hate the message, but they just don't want a bunch of shit spray painted on their business.
Yeah.
I read about this quite a bit and people have been writing about it and saying, oh, it's in the mayor said it's just the summer of love. Well, I tell you, when a mayor says it's summer of love, when someone takes over a block that I live on, I want that mayor the fuck out. I mean, that is not, I don't know. Sometimes I'm just like, is this, am I dreaming this? This can't be a real story. Mm-hmm. And medical treatment and, you know, I don't know. It's just the weirdest thing. We don't have to spend a lot of time on it because I don't want to get in the weeds about it. I just think that taking over six blocks of any city in America is not fucking nuts.
Yeah, I guess the conflicting thing that I've seen are the responses to it, because everybody that's there and has, you know, has been there, and the city officials are like, yeah, this is basically a hippie commune. And
but only certain people can get in.
But then other... But
some people cannot get in.
That's another thing that I've seen conflicting reports about. And then all the national people are like thinking that it's the worst thing ever. So I don't know.
I haven't heard anybody say it's the worst thing ever. I've heard people say that it's abominable that you can't just declare a sovereign nation in a six blocks that you don't own. It doesn't. No, you can't do that. And if somebody...
People will eventually get bored and just leave. But
they've been there for how long have they been there?
But why? That's the interesting thing. Why aren't these businesses more upset?
People that live there have to show ID to get in. There's a barricade. It's barricade. Why is it? Anybody can just get in and leave whenever they want. Why is it barricaded?
Okay.
I'm asking why is it barricaded?
Well, I mean, I'm not. That's what you saw, but I saw the conflicting report that no, they're not doing that. So who knows? You know, what's the real answer?
There's barricades all around. There were barricades. Barricaded the precinct, and they removed the barricades and put them on the outside.
So no people are allowed in then?
No, they allow people in, but they decide who comes in.
Okay. I read differently. I don't know.
Okay, tell me what you read, because I'd like to hear it, because I think this is a disaster. I think it's a total fucking disaster, and I can't imagine why anyone would let it go on. I mean, for a couple days, maybe, to avoid the conflict, but... It sounds like there's and you know, when I get in the weeds, then it's like, oh, the factions are arguing inside, and the leaders, there's 20 different people to come inside. I'm like, I don't fucking care how many leaders there are. You can't just take over six blocks.
So regarding the shooting, though, Seattle Police Department said in their statement that officers initially had trouble getting on the scene of the shooting because they were, quote, met by a violent crowd that prevented officers safe access to the victims. The police officers entering into the zone filmed by people occupying it didn't appear to show violence. So once again, what's the fucking truth?
The people, what'd you say, the people that were...
The police said that it took them a while to get there because they were met by, quote, a violent crowd that prevented officers safe access.
Well,
to
nobody believes the police, so we'll take the other people's word for it. I'm sure the police are lying, so that's fine. I don't care about that. Why is it an autonomous zone? If anybody can come or go, then it's just business as usual. Why is it? I don't even know why it's a thing. Why are we talking about it? If anyone can come or go, why are we talking about it?
I don't know. Why does the city not have a problem with it?
I don't know. The mayor said it's the summer of love.
Exactly.
So
I don't
know. Call the
police can't be at the precinct.
All I got to say is I'm glad it's not here.
Well, I don't really care. I mean, there's arguments over how bad it is or isn't, but I don't care how bad it is. You can't fucking do that. I don't even know why it's even a discussion. Why is this being spun? It's like you can't just take over six blocks. And if they're letting people in and out, whoever wants to come in and out from any spot on there and the barricades aren't moved, then why is it called a chop? It's just where the people live and where the people do business. I don't even know why it has a name. If you can just do whatever you normally did, why does it have a name? Why is it different than just the street it used to be?
I don't know.
You want to dial up the one of the restaurants that's actually still working there? Because a lot of the places that I called, no answers whatsoever. I couldn't get any of the businesses to
what kind
to
of businesses?
Pick up. They vary. They're everything from restaurants to, like, you know, businesses that sell jewelry.
Did you call today or yesterday?
And I think some of them are going to begin to reopen, but most of them aren't. And I think that
maybe there's a problem with being open. Maybe they don't want to be open.
But I do know that there's a restaurant, Dirty Dog, that is thriving in Chop, because I'm pretty sure they're one of the only places that can get some food out for some cash. They're listed.
What do we call tomorrow? Because wouldn't business be more likely to be open on a Monday than a Sunday?
This place will be open either way because they got to feed people. But yeah, we can call whenever.
Who are we going to call today?
Well there was a bunch of numbers.
We were talking about Donato.
Oh, yeah, let's call Donato. Just dial up Donato.
The guy that wore the diaper to Trump's rally.
He wore diapers? Wait, because he didn't want to pee himself? Because
he didn't want to wear a mask. So he said it was saving people. What did it say on it, Brandon? COVID from farts? even though he had pants on, which would be like a mask for your anus.
Wait, was he wearing pants over his diapers?
He was wearing pants, then a diaper. He was trying to prove a point that scientists say that COVID can spread through farts. And so why aren't we all wearing diapers? It's like, well, because we're all wearing pants.
Underwear.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what his point is. He sounds like somebody that I'd be interested to hear
Did you see the shitty email that Paul Glanz got about the whole battle with the governor for having the film? Did you see he posted that email?
I didn't. You know, I was trying to read it, and I was kind of not really. I felt like I jumped into the middle of something, and I didn't understand
it. Asshole attacked him because he dare attacked our governor. And Paul Glanz responded with his response. It was pretty classy, pretty good response. The thing is, they left the guy's phone number in there. Or they left our phone number on there.
What was the attack?
I'll read it. Hang on.
Let me mention First Hall Financial Hotline because we may be opening it up momentarily. Hall Financial, David Hall, care about the community. And that's why the team at Hall Financial is working around the clock. They do. They work some crazy hours to get things done, to get them done fast, to help save people money through refinancing. If you haven't refinanced in the last year, Hall Financial is here to help. Lower your monthly payments. Keep some extra money in your pocket as we go through these turbulent times. You might even be able to skip a couple payments. So if you haven't refinanced in the last year, there's a decent chance that Hall Financial can save you money. So here's what you do. Call 248-308-5000 or go to our webpage and click on the logo to get started. Fill out the online form. They'll get back to you fat. Don't call if you're not ready. They've got 1,500 five-star reviews. Hall Financial, lower payments, better options, more personal attention. NMLS number 1467435.
So the guy wrote, "Fuck Paul Glanz, your YOUR, a POS." I find this adorable.
People
too.
Do this all the time.
They wrote POS cunt. It's like, if you're right, cunt, you're just right, piece of shit. You got your 15 minutes of fame and much money from right wing cunts for your attack on our great Governor Whitmer. Now crawl back into the asshole you live and fuck yourself. I hope you die from COVID-19. It's called karma.
I hope you die of COVID-19.
Nice. Well, I mean, all of it's insanely idiotic and just horseshit.
I'm sure this guy gets mad at every group that gathers that's too big for what they tell you it should be. I'm sure he has equal treatment for all.
Who cares? He's a rude asshole anyway. But they left the phone number in there. And then Glanz.
Oh, that asshole did?
Well, Glanz posted this response, and then his response.
So he's not going to answer his phone.
Who?
That guy. I mean, we could call him.
I don't know if that's his number, because you have to provide a phone number when you sign up or when you send this message in. So Glanz, I thought his response was funny. Thank you for your comments, Mr. Morrissey. I will take your suggestion under advisement. I'd like to personally laud you for your impressive use of the English language and for your exemplary writing skills. I hope you will share your commentary below with your mother and or grandmother. I'm sure they'll be very proud of you. Regards, Paul. I just thought it was funny. It's a great way to respond to an asshole.
Why would anyone send him a message like that? I mean, that is so fucking
an asshole
stupid.
Now. Everyone's up in arms about everything. Everyone's mad at everything and freaking out about everything.
I thought that Paul should have played the, so you hate black people. You don't want to raise money for Juneteenth and now you're a college fund. I mean, I thought that
he's too classy.
That card was so obvious. It was like, they can't cancel it.
He's too classy. And I'm only basing that on the commercials he does with Jay Towers.
Governor Whitmer, by the way, I haven't seen his commercials with Jay Towers. Is he on he's on
what?
Those?
Yeah, we've talked about him. Yeah.
I know I've seen the commercials. I don't know the guy's name that's in it.
I'm super jealous.
Well, Jay only says it like 50 times. Remember when he just walked into their studio?
Yeah, they're very spontaneous.
Apparently you can just walk into Jay Towers' radio studio anytime you want.
I know, and just when they happen to be shooting a commercial, and the commercial becomes their commercial. How crazy!
It's pretty,
because he didn't know he was coming. They were going to shoot a commercial for WNIC.
Well, they were just... Oh, is that a fart?
I'm sorry about that.
No, you're not.
No, I would really love to be a part of those commercials. I think that when the Imagine Theater is back up and running full capacity, that the Drew and Mike show should have some kind of a challenge to Jay Towers for that commercial. You have too many bits, Towers!
Man, that is a lot of exposure, actually. I mean, the screen is so big, too. I mean, that's a nice commercial to be in.
Where is the... I'm trying to find the original ad. Is this it? Oh, this might be the holiday ad when they're when.
Paul, he's done a bunch of them.
When Paul just goes.
Why did we drive all the way to the boss's house again?
Well, the invitation says an afternoon of surprises, relaxing seats, memorable snacks, and a twist ending.
I bet it's
that ad filmed, by the way, at Corvino's house.
Is that a fact?
Well, yeah, judging from the outside.
It's definitely there, yeah.
It's very long. It's a badass house.
That commercial makes me just a little horny.
What? Jay? I didn't know Jay worked the concession stand.
Wait,
at
the Imagine. Paul, the Paul you were talking about is Paul Corvino?
No, Paul Glanz.
Oh, okay. Because when you said Paul, I know what Paul Corvino is.
Yeah, that's
Towers from 100.3 WNIC, and I'm working at Imagine Theaters with the morning show to raise even more money.
How many jobs does Towers need to have? He's working at Imagine now?
For some very special kids to go to Disney World with Jay's Juniors.
Hi, four Fantastic Beasts, please.
How about four for Superman? It's a classic.
My kids really want to see the Beast.
Oh, Jay loves Superman.
No one cares about Beasts and Wizards. Here, Superman.
Also,
that's going to be the bit. He's
Jay,
it's not cool, Towers. I love Imagine Theater. I go there monthly, and I always pre-buy my tickets. I always sit alone by myself in those comfortable, relaxing recliner chairs with my popcorn.
Are you trying to be on the ad?
And
why is Brandon becoming such an advocate?
Alcoholic beverages there at the beautiful Rochester Hills Imagine Theater.
He really knows how to be a salesman, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's definitely in the wrong business.
Oh, speaking of that, it made me think, because I know you're a big fan of Cameo. Does anybody know about Icon, the talent booking website? And the only reason...
No, have you ever heard what Icon is.
Talent booking, like real... Like, yeah. What kind of talent?
And here's the reason. This is the video that made me realize from Ja Rule and his 970,000 followers. So he posts this video where he's at a party. Small party, you know, some chick shaking her ass, and on there he wrote, "Thanks for all the love. If you want an exclusive experience such as this, book me on Icon. COVID safe personal performances. FYI,
oh, so
I'm not cheap."
So he's performing at your house. He's not doing concerts at people's houses.
No, yeah. So you can go to this website.
Oh, I see. Because he can't do shows in theaters. Is he a draw anyway? I mean, he's probably better off doing. Well, gigs at somebody's house and then overcharge them for it.
I mean, they got a pretty nice list of talent here. You got Meta World Peace, if you want to sign him up.
Wait, where Meta World Peace is a basketball. He's a basketball player.
Yeah, but maybe you just want to hang out. It's like, it's basically Cameo in person.
It's like to have a fake celebrity friend.
Yeah. DMX is on here, Fat Joe. There's one on here I think that'll make you really laugh if I can find
a job. I have a feeling these aren't going to be the most current, biggest celebrities.
Exactly. Trina on here, but the other one that I saw on here is Connor Cruz.
What? Why would someone pay Connor Cruz, unless you're a Scientologist and you're trying to get further up the ladder? Connor Cruz?
Yeah, sign Connor Cruz.
That's Tom Cruise's adopted kid.
Yeah, but he might. I guess
he's a Scientologist. He's going to pitch Scientology.
What if you hire him and that's what he does?
What does Connor Cruz?
They don't.
What does he cost?
You got to go through the whole thing.
Is there a phone number we can call and find out how much it costs to book Connor Cruz?
Sure. We should probably call him tomorrow, though. I don't think they're open today. I'm trying to see who their rock stars are, because you're right, Brandon. The website's terrible. It keeps crashing. And
let's call Donato.
Oh, okay.
We do have Donato's number.
Yeah. Can you pull it up, Brandon? Donato.
Right there.
All right.
My God, America, what did you do to this boy?
I'm really surprised that Whitmer canceled that thing. That strikes me very strangely.
Donato, the fisherman, was holding Elian here. Donato, the fisherman.
Hello?
Is this Donato, the fisherman?
Que pasa?
Donato?
Huh?
Is this Donato the fisherman? It is! Oh, my God. Congratulations. Did you hear Elian's going to be a dad?
He's going to be a father? Yeah. You knew before I knew.
Oh, we're breaking news.
Wow, we're breaking news to you. That's awesome. But, yeah, he is.
Yeah. Hey, get me a trip to go to his house.
Did you know
an exclusive interview.
The short list of names for his son is Donato is actually on the list. Donato Gonzalez.
No
way. Donato the fisherman.
That's what I heard. I heard that.
Be honest with me.
Somebody said that. I don't know if it's in the story, really? But yeah,
some people are saying that.
That is the honest to God truth. Somebody said it.
Wow.
Yeah.
His name's Brandon.
What's that? Mars Laces? Is that with the squeaky voice?
Yeah.
The niece of I mean, the cousin of Elion?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you already forget the story, Donato?
No, I didn't, but no, because I've done... Hey, listen, it's 20 years ago, you know?
I know.
But you were in a Pulitzer Prize winning photograph.
Did they send you a Pulitzer? Did you get a Pulitzer? I mean, did you get at least a certificate? Or like the
acknowledgement?
Some kind of acknowledgement?
The subject?
No. You know, listen, you know, sometimes you do things as a good Samaritan out of your heart, and that's about what you get. There was nothing outside of that, believe me.
Do you have, I mean, this is a serious question. Do you have that picture, like, anywhere? I mean, do you like looking at that picture? Do you have it hanging in your house?
Oh, the guy pointing the gun at him?
Or is it horrifying to you?
Neither one or the other. I don't have it hanging. I mean, it's on the internet. It'll be there forever. But, I mean, listen, it was something that I went through at that moment in time. But it's nothing that I really I really look at. I do get people periodically that meet me out on the street. Even though I'm sporting a beard these days and I'm 20 years old, they still recognize me.
Well, that's wild. Well, it was a huge thing. I mean, whether this kid was going to grow. I wonder how his growing up has been in Cuba with his father as opposed to what everyone thought he should want, which is to be here. Well, he would have been without his father. Mm-hmm. Do we know if he's happy? I guess he's having a child, so he must be kind of happy.
Well, I don't know if you've seen the interview with him a few years ago. There was a movie out called Elion, and I was a part of that movie. And according to him, he was quite happy to be back there in Cuba with his dad. And I can't blame him, you know, I mean, in some aspects. I know people were the well-wishers wanted them here, not in Fidel Castro's Cuba. But, you know, I got a 10, almost 11-year-old daughter right now, and I couldn't imagine. Whoa. I tell people every day that I couldn't imagine that because I lived in a certain demographic that somebody wouldn't want me to be with my daughter. You know what I mean?
So, okay, so when he told you that he's really happy, or did you go, well, God, I wish you would have told me that 20 years ago! Well, I went to a lot of trouble for you!
That's true. You know something? Well, the narrative was everybody wanted to keep him out of Fidel Castro's Cuba, not out of Cuba itself, but because of Fidel Castro. Yeah. And
well,
I think,
that's true.
You know, even myself, I got caught up in the middle of all that.
Caught up, I'll say.
Yeah.
We have audio of Mars Laces saying that they broke Elian's bed.
Oh, we got lots of audio of her.
Did you witness them breaking Elian's bed? And why did
he's allergic to things that they don't know.
Why did they break the bed? That seems weird to me.
The officers came into the house, or the agents came into the house, and they were searching, you know, within that 3-minute time frame that they had to get in and get out. Mm. So they were busting down some doors, throwing some stuff around, looking for the kid. And then, boom, that's when they came in the room and they seen him in my arm.
Wait, are you saying...
Que pasa? Que pasa?
There's actual audio.
Donato, yeah.
Now... Did they, when you said in that 3-minute time frame, they didn't have a 3-minute time frame to find him, did they?
What's that?
Wait, you made it sound like they only had 3 minutes to find him and they had to leave. You mean?
Well, this is what I was told from federal agents afterwards, that they had there was a 3-minute mission from the minute they came up the street to the minute they got him and left. That's what their mission was 3 minutes or under, and they were just a little bit under 3 minutes, and they had him and they were gone.
Oh, okay. I was going to say that would sound really weird. Somebody had a stopwatch outside the outside the place.
Well, no, but you know, police as law enforcement, you know what I mean. When they're on a mission, you know what I mean, to do something, that because anything could have went really bad, as you could have seen when you watched it. If people would have really revolted against the law enforcement, yeah. I believe it would have turned out a lot different. It might have been a little bit of a. A Waco.
Yeah, if anything had happened to that child, I would have blamed some guy was holding him in a closet. I mean, what the hell? You open the closet, there he is, some guy holding him.
But that was the guy that you did save his life. I mean, you did pluck him from the water,
you know,
right?
I can just say yes. You know something?
So you would have been even if he died in the closet.
Did you ever say to Alien, I gave you life and I can take it away?
it was crazy. Nobody could imagine, especially myself, that I went out fishing that day with my cousin and then... that day. Anybody else should have got him in their arms, but he came into my arms somehow, and there I was. But nobody would have known unless Alan Diaz was there to get that photo.
Wow.
Is your cousin jealous that you're the one that got all the attention?
I don't know. You know something? Me and my cousin were a little estranged before that, and and now we've been estranged for almost like 20 years. We haven't seen each other.
Can I ask what the source of the estrangement is?
What's the source of it? I don't know.
I mean, 20 years, that's a long time.
Yeah. You seem like a good guy.
Yeah. Did he hit on your wife or something?
No.
Okay.
No, I mean, it's not from my end. No, listen, you have to understand Italians. If you ever been around Italians, sometimes Italians can hold grudges for a lifetime.
That's racist.
Donato's canceled.
Forget about it. Donato's canceled.
Yeah.
Are you still in Florida?
Yes, I am.
Are you still fishing, or what are you doing now?
No, I'm still running my home cleaning business and painting and fixing. That's what I've been doing. It just happened to be that day.
Yeah,
they coined me as a fisherman, but that's what me and my cousin were doing.
Oh, yeah, they trademarked it. That's why I thought. Okay, I thought you were a fisherman.
Yeah, okay. No, you were just out fishing. We stayed on the news for so long, you know, instead of you, the fisherman.
The fake news media decided he was a fisherman.
Mm-hmm.
Donato, now Maris Lasis, do you talk to Maris Lasis still? And if you do, does she still have a squeaky voice?
You know something? I haven't seen Maris Lasis in maybe 15 years or more, but I did see her at the preview of this film.
I broke the door of my mom's room.
What, did she have a squeaky voice still?
No, you know, she's all grown up, and she has a husband, and
what?
I believe she has children. Yeah.
How'd she look?
She was hot. She was really hot.
She was
back in the Alien days. She was way hot.
Yeah,
she sounds hot.
Yeah, she's a nice looking woman.
Yeah,
Donato.
I mean, listen, she was a kid.
What?
How? Yeah, how old? She was like 20 at the time, wasn't she?
Yeah, I think something like that.
And how old were you?
I was 40.
And were you married?
Yeah.
You were at that time?
So the shared grief over losing Elian to his father, did that bring you guys together?
We all grieve differently.
Absolutely not. What? No, you know something? People were looking at the whole thing like that, but I can tell you right now, she was not my cup of tea, I can tell you that. She's a feisty Latina, you know what I mean?
So would you say that relationship would have lasted at the most one cup of coffee?
Two sips.
Believe me, would not be my first choice.
She was really, she's very loud and squeaky, and she seemed pretty bossy. Is that what you're referring to?
Yeah, I think so. You know, a typical, for me, not criticizing, but, you know, typical Latin female where they're very feisty and very overbearing.
You've been canceled twice in this phone call.
Overbearing. I love that. No, she seemed a bit overbearing.
Yeah,
I got to say.
Yeah,
I
mean, despite her ethnicity.
But, you know, you see the raw emotions on television, though. You know, something for a young person like yourself to be, you know, filmed, 24/7 for those 6 months. On a serious note, it wasn't easy. You know, something that's like, it was crazy reality television, you know what I mean?
Well, I remember, do you remember, I feel like this gets lost in the story, that whole time he was here, remember he went on that, like, weird tour, wouldn't he go to Disney World, and I mean, he was on TV all the time. Did you get to go to Disney World with him, Donato?
No, I didn't go to Disney World with him.
What?
No, not at all.
But you found him.
Man, if he had stayed, if Elian stayed here, he would have had his ass kissed by the entire country his whole life.
He'd be on Cameo.
Yeah, but instead he got his entire life, you know, handed to him over in Cuba.
Yeah, you're right, but they don't have Cameo in Cuba.
No.
Yeah,
Donato, do you do like Instagram? You should have an Instagram or a TikTok or something. Do you have social media?
Yeah, I'm just on Facebook. I mean, I don't really. Yeah.
Are you on there as Donato the Fisherman or as regular Donato?
Just Donato.
You need a Twitter. You should just be, you know, the crazy Donato and just post a bunch of things on Twitter. You'd have so many followers.
Oh, wow. I'm about as normal as you could imagine, really.
Well, Donato, listen, it's great to talk to you. I'm glad we could break the news about Elian.
Donato the Fisherman.
We were among the first media outlets to have the story. We wanted to make sure you were aware of it before people went with it.
We got to break the news.
Yeah. Hey, listen, guys, thanks for calling. I'm actually here in the shopping mall with my little daughter.
Oh, wow.
Looking for shoes. And I didn't know until I heard your voices. I thought this was some kind of prank call or something.
Well, never. We love talking.
No, we've had you on before. We'll call you back sometime, Donato. Listen, it's great talking to you, as always.
Yes, thank you.
We'll see you, man.
All right.
All right, take care.
Tornado, the fisherman was holding Elian here.
God, America, what did you do to this boy?
Tonight almost got him killed.
He's a good guy. That picture.
You put it over his face.
Why did everyone get squeaky in that story? What happens? You get near that kid. Anybody in his orbit is squeaky.
You have a gun pointed at you and you'll squeak.
Listen to the sparrows.
There's something about his orbit that makes you squeak.
You're out of doors.
What's Matt doing on this song?
What the hell is this song?
It's called Fishing with Dad. It's a stinker. Sorry, Matt.
Que pasa? Que pasa?
I just love breaking it. We got to break the news. Now I hope someone calls him for real comedy. He's like, I just talked to Drew and Mike up in Detroit. They told me about it.
Yeah, they got a big reporting field. They're one of the first people to know.
There was a lady with a blanket. She took it and she put it over his face.
They didn't feel they could go with it until they got an hold of me.
They told me Elliot's on Cameo.
Help me. Help me.
Oh, boy.
That story's so wild. And here, Donato admits it. Yeah, he should have been with his dad the whole time.
That is.
Thanks for wasting all our fucking time.
Maybe you should have told Maris Slaces that.
Oh, but that picture will always be, you know, a very historic photo. Yeah. It's one of the craziest ones ever.
It's also going to be the cover for today with Drew's face as the agent.
I really like one of our covers recently. I can't think of which one it was, but it made me laugh.
Oh, my God. Those covers are so dumb. Some people get mad at me. Some people are always like telling me, like, you know, you got to work up on your Photoshop skills.
But that's the point. They think that that's like the best you could match my head to the body.
That's the point. Right. We don't want it to be perfect.
I get yelled at for skin tone all the time.
Oh, jeez. Are you talking about, did you like the Danny Masterson one, the lineup? Masterson, Delia, yes. You and Feldman. That was a good one.
That was a good one.
The woman Nugent and Derek St. Holmes and Graff. Gary Graff in that picture is the best. You remember that one?
Oh, yeah.
One?
Yeah, yeah.
He looks great.
So, did you guys catch anything interesting over the weeks? Anybody seen the Pete Davidson movie besides me? Or?
No.
Okay, so this is what, no bullshit. This is what was going to happen. Kristen and I decided that we were going to watch a movie last night.
Who decided?
So you guys watched six movies of hers, and then you said you want to pick that one?
So what'd she pick?
No, what happened was we kind of celebrated Father's Day on Saturday instead, so I could do whatever I wanted. So I was like, you know what? I want to watch The King of Staten Island. It's a new movie. Drew said it was pretty good. I want to give it a shot. So I click on my television. I speak into my microphone. It pops up. $20 to rent it?
Yeah.
$20?
That's what all the in theater now type. Like when Trolls World Tour, it was, you know, $19.99 and
bullshit. No all way. The ones $20, that buy no.
Yeah, but
way.
Think so about it. If you and her were to go to the theater, it'd be $20.
So I ended up watching Vivarium, and Drew, you had mentioned that you saw it. I know Trudy saw it, and I loved it. It was crazy.
I thought it was crazy too, but I thought it was kind of crazy cool. I just thought it was such a like I can imagine taking that movie to Harvey Weinstein, or, you know, one of these big shooters, and saying, okay, here's what's going to happen. And I'm going, that is so stupid. That's going to be boring after like 10 minutes.
But Jesse, I have Jesse Eisenberg on board.
Well
Jesse Eisenberg was great.
No, he was.
So was Imogen Poots.
I thought that, honestly, they made the movie work because with a, who's it I thought, if you like made it a cheese movie with Ian Ziering and Tara Reid, it would have just been so stupid. But I thought the fact that they had really good actors made it. I mean, it was a really tough. I know that the Rotten Tomatoes on it is very mixed, but the people that like it really like it.
It was definitely a movie that's straight out of Twilight Zone. Now the thing is, and this isn't a spoiler,
it's very
or anything,
Twilight Zone.
After I watched the movie, I feel like a weirdo. But after I watched the movie, I ended up doing like a 2-hour deep dive on cuckoo birds and brood parasites. And I couldn't believe that I got that deep into it because I had no idea that the cuckoo bird is the horror story of nature. And it's just amazing. I couldn't believe it. Watch the flick. It's worth it.
Yeah. And if you didn't catch the last time we talked about it, Jesse Eisenberg and his wife are looking to buy a house, and they go into this housing division. It's like a, I don't know, it's just like a new division, I guess. You know, one of those places that has those wonderful
no one
names.
Lives there yet.
Yeah, and so they're in the model house, and the guy takes them to one of the houses. And the houses are all the same. They're all green, And they're kind of chuckling like, oh, God, we got to get out of here. And this guy's, you know, really trying to sell it hard. And the guy's really weird. And then he excuses himself. And then they go like, well, where'd he go? Is he inside? Because they were in the backyard. And he's gone. Just absolutely gone. Like, no idea. So they're like, oh, my God. They get in their car to go home. And they can't find their way out of this place. And it keeps leading them back to the house that they sounds like to look at.
Sounds like a good subdivision to live so, in. Nobody's going to be driving through.
They have to move in. They have to move into the house. They can't leave. They can't get out. So they start staying in the house. And this goes on for a long time. It's just nuts. It's very Twilight Zone.
Kid. Oh, my God. That kid.
Oh, my God. That was so weird.
One more thing. If you're going to watch Vivarium, if you are going to watch it, have the remote control near you because there's times where you're going to want to turn the volume down. Guaranteed.
Oh, like because they scare you or whatever?
No, because there's some screaming that gets so loud.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. Oh, my God. That's it was really good. I really appreciate that movie. Even if you don't like it, you might appreciate it. I don't know.
I liked it.
What's it on?
I liked it. I think Trudy liked it, didn't she?
Yeah.
Is it on...
I think I rented it for $3.99 or $4.99 instead of $20, Judd Apatow. Jesus.
I know. I paid for that. And it's like, oh, I can't believe I'm doing this.
Yeah, maybe Kristen and I would spend $20 if we saw it in the theaters, but we also would have those very comfortable Imagine recliner seats that I don't have at
Imagine
home.
Again.
And so I'm not spending $20 unless it's a huge,
why don't you buy those seats that they
Imagine
have?
Theater Rochester Hills screen.
You know what I... wait.
Vote for me, Paul Glantz. I'm better than Jay Thomas.
Oh, I can't remember who said this, but I was just reading today, and it was a discussion of comedy movies. And so the Judd Apatow topic comes up, and they're talking about different movies. And one of the guys, it was sort of like an oral history. It was different people keep coming back in the conversation, but it wasn't an oral history. They were just sort of kicking this topic around. And one of the guys says, I think... is there some way to subtract 30 minutes from every Judd Apatow movie?
Yeah.
And one of the other guys starts going through the movie lengths and which ones feel too long and which ones maybe, you know, were worth the extra time. And anyway, they all kind of agreed that his movies are too fucking long. Hmm. And the Pete Davidson movie, The King of Staten Island, I think it's 2:17.
Yeah.
2 hours and 17 minutes. It's kind of your basic comedy. How could it be that long?
They are long. I'm looking. Knocked Up's 2:08.
I remember thinking it was too long. I remember being in the theater going, it was funny, but why was it so long? I
still like that one. Train Wreck. Trainwreck was 2 hours, 9 minutes.
That is way too long. For Amy Schumer?
It's about 2 hours too long.
Jeez.
This is 40 is 2 hours, 14 minutes. You Don't Mess with the Zohan is 153.
I like that movie, by the way.
Pineapple Express is 150. Those aren't typical comedy times. Bridesmaids, 2:12.
A good comedy can be an hour 25.
Anchorman, 159. Anchorman 2, I'm sorry, 159. Funny People, 2.5 hours.
That movie was way too long.
The 5-Year Engagement, 2 hours, 4 minutes. I like that one.
Wait, what movie?
The 5-Year Engagement.
Oh, you like it in Ann Arbor.
Yeah.
Yep, pretty much. It's the only reason why.
Okay. Where Jason Segel?
You're in the cult, bro.
Where is Jason Segel? He was like,
it's a great question.
I
did the Muppets and then disappeared.
I swear to God, I liked everything he did, and I was like going back. Oh, 5-Year Engagement. That's I'll watch it, and I liked it.
He got nude on screen, and we haven't seen him since.
No, isn't it weird when somebody is just like can't go wrong with every choice, and all of a sudden it's like, where is he?
Yeah, the last movie that he did that anything. I knew of, that I heard of, was Sex Tape with Gwyneth Paltrow, and that was 2014. That was 6 years ago.
Wait, I don't think I've seen that. Is it good?
Yeah.
Was it funny? Yeah.
No, I didn't watch it. I didn't see it. I mean, I really liked him in Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Oh, he's great in that. I loved him in that.
Yeah.
So,
oh, that's right. He wrote, produced, and stars in a show called Dispatches from Elsewhere on AMC. It's weird. It's different. It's not bad. But I guess that's just what he's been doing, but no movies, nothing like that.
You know, it's really strange how there are so many, like, small to medium stars now.
Yeah.
And there are so few in, like, the big star zone. I mean, it's just a few people that everyone...
because everyone's getting canceled.
No, I think it's just because there's so many ways to take media in. But anyway, yeah, you know who's another one is Owen Wilson. I was like, oh, my God, he's the funniest guy. He's so good. I like everything he did. And then he did, was it, he's the bodyguard at school or whatever. What's it? Stupid? Drillbit Taylor.
He had the suicide attempt. That really, after the suicide attempt, and he survived it.
He's okay now. He could go back to doing great movies. He didn't have to do shitty movies just because he tried to commit suicide.
Probably pick him up a little bit.
He's been in a couple movies that I've tried to watch. I'm going, this isn't right for Owen Wilson. Why do I know what's right for him? And he doesn't.
What is it? What were they?
There's a movie in, it's a, I think it's a Woody Allen movie. Oh.
That like was a, what he did, yeah.
It was a drama. I was like, this isn't Owen Wilson. Get him out of here.
Wow.
Yeah, Zoolander 2. God, he hasn't done anything.
Zoolander
2
was terrible. I was like, this movie can't be that bad. It's got to be, got to get better. Just got
done anything, man.
It had so many cameos in it too. It was like they just replaced writing a decent script with just calling up people to do cameos.
Oh, he was in Inherent Vice, the P.T. Anderson movie, which is not, I did not like that movie at all.
But isn't it strange when somebody is like, because he was a young guy when everything was going right, and then just almost at his, you know, the age where you'd think, eh, just keep doing that. Well, but it does happen to so many people. Vince Vaughn. I mean, what's Vince?
It's like no, he Vince was in Vaughn True Detective season two. Vince Vaughn still does shit.
Oh, that's right. Well, see, I don't even know what he's doing, though.
But like Luke Wilson, Owen's brother, I haven't really seen him.
He's
do
in
much
a lot.
Either.
He's in a lot of stuff. I just don't think. I just think they had such a hot streak that, at least mentally, I tend to think that.
I think they're just
sitting, what happened to those guys?
Sitting around waiting for Wes Anderson to make a new movie.
And of course, Vince Vaughn popped up into Curb Your Enthusiasm because he had
that
to play Funkhauser.
That's right. That was so funny, too. Well, over the weekend, I started to watch the Harvey Weinstein doc on Hulu.
Oh, I didn't even know that existed.
Yeah, I remember when it came out and I think I'd seen so much Harvey Weinstein. I was like, well, you know, it's probably interesting. Anyway, those stories, when you've heard them 50 times and, you know, I watched the R. Kelly series and it just gets to, it just seems like everybody wanted to do a documentary on the same subject in a fairly compact period. And I think I might finish it, but I may not. And then I watched a whole lot of episodes of the Pablo Escobar. I followed El Chapo with Pablo. Yeah, Pablo Escobar has a series on Netflix.
Oh, wow.
And it is long because I'm like 17 episodes in, and I don't even know where it ends. I don't even think we're in 1987 yet. But that guy is so fucking amazing. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, the Beatles. I feel like I can never learn enough about the Beatles. I can never learn enough about Pablo. There's always something new, and they had this one thing in the movie. Well, there's a bunch of things that I didn't know, but they were they had someone who was part of the cartel, and his daughter was kidnapped by this, what are they, AR-20, some sort of weird political terrorist group or whatever. I don't know what they were. Anyway, they kidnapped this girl, who's kind of hot, by the way. Anyway, so Pablo, of course, gets involved because Pablo's involved in everything. Pablo is power, so Pablo's trying to help, you know, round her up.
Is this Narcos or no?
No, it's not Narcos. It's, I'm not sure what the name of it is exactly. I just went in and I saw it. I don't know if it's new. I might have been there for a while. I think it's just called Pablo Escobar.
The Drug Lord? Pablo Escobar, the
is it
drug
a
lord?
Series?
That was a TV series in 2012. I'm just trying to think
of maybe
which
it's
one
maybe here. That's it. It might be ancient. I don't know. But I just watched the El Chapo one, which is fairly new. And so I saw this and I was like, well, El Chapo chewed up a lot of time. Let's see if El Chapo.
El Chapo.
Or Pablo. So anyway, the person who is representing this group calls, I think it's every Wednesday. And I think they said something like, don't try to trace the call. It's a phone booth. You know, just basically being your typical kidnapper type. And they do figure out that he is definitely at a phone booth in Medellin. Mm. And the only problem is there's like 800 phone booths. So Pablo rounds up about 1,500 guys. So they got two at every phone booth.
Oh,
every
wow.
single phone booth on the day he calls.
What did he pay him? Do you know? I'm just kind of curious what the cost
is. He overpays for everything.
Yeah.
So you just wonder, like, hey, I need you to stand outside this phone booth for
I know, it's
a certain
really
amount
weird.
Of time.
Well, Pablo throws all these parties for the whole town. I mean, he's just, you know, people are so poor there. Here's this guy that puts on these great shows and parties and free beer and free drinks and all that. And so, you know, he generates a lot of excitement. So they love him. But there's people at every fucking phone booth. And a few people got roughed up. That were not the guy.
Ooh,
because the guy at the phone booth looked like trouble. And anyway, so they get this guy. But I thought, I mean, how many drug lords would think that, you know, to send two guys to 800 different
pretty
phone
smart.
Booths to find someone.
It was then, something special.
And then they... they found her, the girl, and in the course of finding her, there was a guy who wouldn't tell them where she was. So they tied him each ankle and each wrist was tied with a rope, which is then tied to a bumper of a car going in opposite directions.
Oh,
so
cool.
They would like pull his arms off or pull his legs off.
Drawn and quartered, cool.
It's pretty cool.
Yeesh.
They didn't show him. Like getting his arms pulled up. I don't really know what happened.
Here's the guy at the phone booth when the two guys confronted him.
I'm trying to use the phone!
Oh, what a jerk.
It was an important phone call.
Stretch!
Then one of the weirdest things in the movie or the series was that, because I don't remember this. I kind of, but not really. There's this this girl who's like the hot news anchor, and Pablo sees her on TV a lot, talking about him, of course.
Yeah.
And when he gets into politics, he wins a seat in their Congress or Parliament or whatever you call it. And there's so much negative publicity about him that he decides that he wants her to interview him because I think he thinks she would.
Favorable.
Yeah, maybe. He doesn't really know. So he sends her, like, fills her whole house with flowers, probably spends $1 billion on flowers. And you can tell she's kind of starstruck by him because he doesn't give interviews. And he's a billionaire, the richest guy in the country. In fact, when...
probably the most powerful.
I think he paid off the country's foreign debt. I believe that was one of the conditions of one of his arrests.
That's great.
I know. Well, it got him out of prison. So anyway, he meets her, and she falls for him, and he starts banging the shit out of her. Pablo, Virginia Vallejo.
Yeah, Virginia Vallejo. Right?
She is. I looked her up online. She's fucking gorgeous. Oh my God. I mean, honestly, she is really.
She's out
of
his league.
Really pretty.
He was a good looking
man. She's miles out of his league.
What?
Pablo is fat. I mean, he's really fat and he's weird looking. He's just not a guy I would think any hot chick would go for. But, you know, it's the wallet.
And the power, yeah.
But even after she knows that he's killing people and stuff, he still nails her. She gets jealous of his wife. She just wants him all the time.
Hey, all right. How'd her career go after that?
She still looks good at 70, I can tell you.
She does? I know. It's so weird.
You want Pablo Escobar sloppy seconds?
Well, that kind of puts the X on her.
Lord knows what he did to her.
Oh, they had a lot of horse.
Oh, God. I can't believe my dick just barfed that much.
It's amazing the way he would just buy piles of whores. He'd have like six guys and they'd have like 15 whores.
He buys them
all
in bulk.
Knockouts. Yeah, Pablo, he just overdid everything, unfortunately. He just didn't have
Mr.
any.
Mr. Excess, yeah.
He had no way to limit himself. He had no limiter. But that's pretty good. I was very entertained by it. Huh. Do we have anybody else to call today?
Just the ones from before.
There was a guy who beat off a shark.
Oh, you got his number?
I think we got a possible number,
His dad beat off the shark, actually, didn't he?
Hot.
The dad beat off the shark, correct.
Oh, what a great Father's Day story.
Mm-hmm. That was in North Carolina. There was a bunch of other numbers we had, and we'd been calling people. And
I didn't read the whole story. I just saw the sub-headline just said that the father repeatedly punched the shark and he gave the kid up.
That's what you got to do.
Sweet.
We've been taught that for years.
And Brian, do you even know what you did to beat off the shark?
You want to call him?
Sure, yeah, dial him up. I feel like I'm in spring training for calling people.
It's become the number one played song in our house again.
What's this guy's name?
Tim.
Tim. What's the son's name? Brandon, you know what the son's name is? Grandma Shark. Grandma Shark. Grandma Shark. Grandma Shark. Oh, that's really Grandpa.
I never heard this version.
No more! No! Stop it!
God, poor people.
You've reached Tim Arthur. Please give your name and number, and I'll give you a call back.
100% call.
I can. Thank you.
Yeah, I'll leave a message.
At the tone, please record your message. When you've finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Hey, Tim. This is Drew and Mike's show in Detroit, and we heard the story that you had saved your son by beating off that shark, and we just wanted to see if you had a few minutes to talk. Maybe we'll try it tomorrow, unless you get this in the very near future. It's the 248 number. Congratulations on being off that shark. That's really awesome, and I'm so happy it ended that way. Thank you.
Donato! Did you see Bad Baby's out of rehab already?
Oh, Bad Baby's out?
Yeah, 30 days.
Oh, wow.
Completed her 30-day stay for prescription pill abuse and childhood trauma.
I'm sure she'll be totally fixed, and she'll probably turn over a new leaf.
Don't both those things seem like they're 30-day fixable things? Prescription pill problem and family childhood trauma.
I think they just threw that in there so it would like lessen the prescription pill thing.
Probably. Yeah, I think you're right about that. But still, 30 days for prescription pill problem, she'll be back in no time.
Yeah. I don't know. She probably didn't even want to quit.
Truck champion. I'm the champion.
You saw Baby Driver is in trouble, right? Ansel Elgort.
Thank you very much.
Well, there's a claim that he slept with an underage girl. And also, there's an N-word issue.
Oh, I don't know about the N-word issue. She was 17, and he responded by saying, oh, yeah, no, but it was totally consensual.
I think he
legal.
Said she was 20, though.
He was 20.
Oh, he was 20, and she was 17?
Yeah, he said.
Are we going to start doing that? I mean, because when you're 18 and she's 17, I mean, that's technically
once again,
18, 16.
It's another Twitter post, and she said after the two met.
But she's really mature, and you're really immature. And you're 18, and she's 16.
Through messaging and social media, Baby Driver took her virginity, even though she was sobbing in pain, and he didn't ask if she wanted to stop.
I love how everybody just calls him Baby Driver, because no one knows his real name.
I know.
Hold on. What guy feels it's his job to ask if she wants to stop if, I mean, seemingly
the
it's...
The guy I know.
Okay.
Well, she was crying. It's kind of weird.
I could have thought she was really happy. Tears of happiness. His penis felt so good. I don't know.
So he goes on to say, it was legally and entirely consensual. I cannot claim
it. Wait, 20 and 17 is legal?
Yeah.
Oh, in that state?
Yeah. New York, I guess.
Was she, was she crying, like, out loud?
Her exclamation
it seems
on
like
Twitter
there'd be, I don't know.
Sobbing in pain is what she said.
Sobbing in pain.
I think you would know.
I would think that would make you get a little less hard.
You think?
I would think so.
Do you think he asked anything about anyone about it?
Does anybody have any sex with women who are crying?
Hang on, let me just ask my boner.
Stories.
Oh yeah, he's playing with it.
They're not sexual assaults.
Listen to how
I don't think that would be much fun.
Listen to how much he cares about this person and her claims now. I cannot claim to understand Gabby's feelings, but her descriptions of event simply not what happened. I never would have assaulted anyone. What is true that in New York in 2014, when I was 20, Gabby and I had a brief, legal, and entirely consensual relationship. Unfortunately, I didn't handle the breakup well. I stopped responding to her, which is an immature and cruel thing to do to someone. I know this belated apology does not absolve me of my unacceptable behavior when I disappeared. As I look back on my attitude, I'm disgusted and deeply ashamed of the way I acted. I'm truly sorry.
You know, it's interesting when it comes to people growing up now and breaking up. I was reading about it was sort of a thing, I guess.
Oh,
girls and guys who were, you know, in that sort of 16 to 20 zone, you know, where it's, you know, your first love. Yeah. And you've been together for 8 months. And the breakup, you know, is painful. Anyway, apparently there's a lot of ghosting with that age breakups now. Yeah.
It's just easier.
Because, well, it's much easier. But with phones,
yeah,
it's kind of easy to show that you're not responding and it's easier to ghost somebody. But it's just strange to me because that is, it so goes against human nature where you feel bad without whatever end you're on, you probably feel terrible. And, you know, to just completely ghost someone just doesn't go along with all of the other, you know, we don't stand for racism, clean the environment, but I'm ghosting you, bitch.
Not very empathetic. Not
really.
Ghost somebody without explanation.
I mean, it just seems that everyone is so wonderful and wants everything to be so wonderful for everyone. And, you know, I sound like I'm making fun of it. The idea is nice. I mean, utopia sounds great. Maybe I'll move to CHOP.
Did you see story?
Is there any sign of... Oh.
What?
Hello?
What? You're there. Did you unplug your headphones?
Oh.
Because I can hear you.
I must have.
Turn my headphones up!
Check, 1, 2. Okay, there I am. I was there the whole time, but I mean, I can hear myself now.
Yeah. Stormy Daniels popped up in the news again because I'm sure everyone was wondering where she was.
Okay, this story.
This is so dumb.
First of all, I don't believe it. And secondly, is she of the opinion that people really want to hear stories about cops not treating hot women well? I mean, is that really white hot women?
I didn't even get that far into the story, but yeah, you're right. I mean, I know what it's in
reference
to.
First of all, I don't know if I believe it. It's so stupid. I mean, it's not a believable story. And second of all, it's like, you know, we're talking about a rather deep issue, which is lethal force and African Americans being treated poorly, in some cases killed. And Stormy Daniels says, "Oh, I got a story.
Yeah.
My 9-year-old was about to be abducted, and I needed help from the cops, and they wouldn't help me because I didn't have my driver's license."
Yeah, and that's not really
how it works. What are you fucking talking about? Really? So the police went, "Oh, it's a blonde with big tits. Now get out of here."
She wanted to report an attempted kidnapping. She said people came into her house to take a 9-year-old. Does that seem?
Police aren't interested in stuff like that unless, you have your
unless
driver's
you have a
license.
Valid license.
Yeah, you got
not
license.
Your passport.
Help me! Help me!
You know, Mark.
Hey,
I read
back in the news. So
I read that story because it's fairly high up in the news, and I'm reading it the whole time, going, "Okay, where are they going to say where a lot of people don't believe this?"
Yeah.
And it seemed like it was being reported like it was just, you know, absolutely happened. Until you get to the comments.
Her report is what happened. I mean, she did tweet all that stuff.
Right, but I just felt that maybe the author of the story could have a little skepticism or maybe ask the police if they ever need someone's driver's license
deal
with kidnapping.
The reporter should just ask that police department for their comment on it.
Well, that's typically what would be done in the past because if you're not going to express some skepticism of that story, I don't think that's very good reporting. But I think there's a lot
of. You just got to get both sides, and they shouldn't express an opinion. But yeah,
yeah. No. All righty. You know what was a cool story? Maybe we'll just wrap with this story. Heather Locklear got married, or no, she's getting married.
Oh, great!
She's marrying her high school sweetheart, and this is the guy who had to, like, cry in his beer as Tommy Lee
ruined
it, slamming her with that crank of his.
Yeah.
And then comes
Zambora.
Zambora goes piling in.
Yeah.
And, you know, David Spade goes piling in.
That's right.
And then all of a sudden, she just starts drinking, like, 50 beers a day and punching cops out. And now she wants them.
Yeah. Now that she's clean.
She's 60 just bombed off her ass.
Is she still bombed?
No, she's not. She sounds like she's sober. And I'm happy for her. I really am.
Sure. I'm happy for him, too.
What? No, I thought she seemed like a really nice person, honestly. Everyone seemed to like Heather Locklear, and this thing was just the most shocking, sad, pathetic thing, and it sounds like she's a lot better, so good for her.
Is this just what Tommy Lee leaves in the wake of his penis?
Yeah, anyone who gets too close to Tommy Lee's penis just has got a rough time coming.
Including his kid.
Oh, a couple other quick things. Angelina Jolie gives an interview.
Yeah.
And I saw this and I'm like, okay, I just know that it's kind of like hearing a politician. I know I'm going to feel worse after I read the story than before I started. I already know, because Angelina Jolie, if she's breaking her silence, it's just going to be something very self-serving. And what do you know? Yeah,
I'm so in love with my brother right now.
She says she divorced Brad Pitt for the well-being of the family. Well, that's a nice way to put it.
Mm-hmm. Brad Pitt, I guess he's a terrible dad. Is that what
he's
you're
just
saying?
A terrible person.
That's a huge bitch.
No, he's just a terrible person. He will make any family worse. I mean, that's how I take it.
Yeah.
And there's so many. I mean, I could spend an hour in this article with all my complaints about it.
I don't know, you know.
This is, what, 3 years ago, right?
Yeah.
Okay, she lied about something. Oh, she suggests in the story that, oh, yeah, some people are still lying to the media and my kids read it and blah, blah. It's, you know, who is she talking about? Who would she be talking about? Brad, obviously.
Yeah.
Well, the only thing I know that really became very public was the fact that she claimed that he didn't pay any child support. The kids were destitute. She didn't say that, but she inferred.
Nothing can replace Brad.
She inferred that Brad didn't do anything in terms of financially helping the kids. Mm-hmm. That was all her. And then Brad's attorney came out and said, well, that's really not very accurate because Brad just loaned her $3 million interest-free. Something. It was something
great
like
loan.
That. I don't remember what the amount
was. Brad.
And he also had a, I don't know what the stipend was, but he was sending her. I mean, it was just royal bullshit. And she went out of her way to
why does she need a loan from him?
I don't know. I don't know what the deal was. Anyway, as far as the family that's left without Brad, the one that was doing so better. Poorly yeah. when he was part yeah. of it and doing much better now, they're still healing 3 years later.
Oh, really?
From yeah, I was Brad, never a big fan of his.
Brad causes so much damage that even 3 years after Brad Pitt's in your family, you're still
trying
healing.
To heal.
So.
Come on. She I don't says, know how those kids will ever heal.
I don't
They've
either.
Such a tough
They have had it so hard. I mean, God, if
That's
only they had been
bad
left.
Brad is.
She did say that she's got six very brave, strong people for kids.
Really?
And yeah.
No, but I mean.
Wait, hold on. Before you even question it, imagine the bravery it takes to be Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt's progeny. I mean, you would have a lot of adversity because Brad's in the family. Right off the bat. And Brad Pitt, I mean, we know what a hothead he is. Yeah. He's always in trouble.
And yet somehow Maddox...
Oh, wait, he isn't.
Maddox overcame that to become an executive producer of a film. I mean, his mom was starring in it, but he was the executive producer.
I swear, I don't know why I hate her so much. I can't stand her. And anytime I hear her talking, I hate it.
Yeah. Because she's phony. She's not relatable.
But she's trying to be so important. Yeah, I'm so
phony.
Important.
She's phony.
I'm talking, so something really important is coming out.
Yeah.
And why would she run to Brad Pitt, I have to say this. He seems like a good guy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've never really heard anybody saying bad about him. Every time I see, he doesn't really do a lot of interviews, but when he does, he seems likable.
Yeah, that George Floyd sweatshirt. Got that pretty quick.
That's right.
His
yeah.
motorcycle. No, he's a good guy. Unless
no, he
you,
seems like a nice. He
seems like a great
guy.
Unless you want him to build you a house in New Orleans.
That's right. Or if you're in his family, you'll be healing for decades.
Great guy, terrible architect.
And then, the story I really did want to wrap up with was the
Flint one, or no?
What about Flint? Oh, the tribunal. Oh no,
no. The guy that
Macy's.
The guy that punched the other dude, beat the shit out. Well, not shit. He punched him, what, four times?
Yeah, I saw the story, and of course he said that the guy... the way
mother.
He described this guy, he had to take a phone call while he's waiting on this guy at Macy's, and when he got on the phone, he's like, yeah, no big deal. No, I was just helping an N-word.
Yeah.
Yeah. And these two
I'm
black guys are standing there.
I'm trying to use the phone!
The reference just sounded so dumb.
Well, isn't it amazing how quick his brother got the camera out to start rolling on it? Which I feel like they're just doing it for some kind of weird clout or get that video out there.
If you can't record him saying the N-word, by the way, to another party, but I guess that's...
Yeah, but you'd be able to hear it.
Yeah, he's referring to you as the person, the N-word he's helping, so...
that employee's not very aware of his surroundings.
But to turn the camera on only for the beatdown part seems kind of...
Fishy.
Not... A great idea.
No. I think they're both... Are they both arrested? I saw mugshots, and the guy that did the beating has just the biggest smile on his face.
What?
Fucking asshole.
I And that guy was so scared. That guy was so freaked out. I can't believe a guy that was that scared would be that loose with calling that guy the N-word. But
yeah.
I don't know. It sounds his coworkers were saying it was absolutely not true.
Macy's going to have security footage, won't they?
Well, but do they pick up a phone call like that?
Probably not, but
I don't know.
You can see the interaction. Maybe he wasn't even on the phone.
Well, one of the most annoying stories that I can think of has come to an end. Isaiah Silva is the man who married Frances Bean Cobain. And they split up after 2 years, and he wanted $25,000 a month support while they were hammering out the divorce, the settlement. And when the court said, what are you talking about? $25,000 a month? You came into this marriage 2 years ago. You had nothing. He's in a band, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
He has absolutely nothing. So you don't have any kids. And we can talk about the house. We can talk about, you know, marital assets. But $25,000 a month support? What? I mean, and I guess Frances Bean doesn't even spend that much on them. I mean, together. So it looked like a big beatdown. And then he said, she promised to support my two children from before I met her for the rest of their lives.
It's a weird, weird promise.
Well, I could see someone with the amount of money she has promising something like that or saying they would help. But yeah.
For the rest of our lives, as long as we're married.
So he has free kids. He gets free children.
That's pretty cool.
Hoo-wah.
Want that
free
deal.
Kids.
I want
he doesn't have to be with the woman who's paying for him.
Free kids.
she promised me free kids. They're not even her kids, but she promised me they'd be free for the rest of my life. I got free kids. This is awesome. And at that point, it moved on to fighting over the home she bought with her money and the guitar that's worth a couple million bucks, or they thought a couple million bucks at that point. The Kurt Cobain unplugged guitar. Pretty cool. I mean,
I don't know the story.
It's a big item. A 1959 Martin D18E, whatever that is.
What story?
Now, David Gilmour had a guitar sell for $3.95 million. They thought it might go that high. As it turns out, it went for $6 million.
Wow.
And this load... How can you have such little pride to tell a judge, she promised me my kids. They're my kids, but she promised to pay for them. So she has to pay for them, even though we're not together.
That's all you care about is money.
I mean, that is the most prideless human being I can imagine. And so then he says, well, she gave me this guitar, which she and Courtney Love both had been pounding him. Give that fucking guitar back. She did not give that to you.
No fucking way.
She says she didn't give it to him. Anyway, the judge ended up saying, he should have said, okay, you can't agree on whose guitar it is. It was your father's, so it's not yours. And you just happened to marry this daughter of this guy, so it sure as fuck shouldn't be yours. We're selling it for charity. How's that?
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be nice if the judge could do that?
Yeah.
He didn't.
Or just break it in half, and then they can pick, they each get half.
So this prick
like the Bible.
Puts the phone right up for auction. And I seem to remember him saying the car meant a lot to him and all this bullshit. Sells for $6 million. This fucking load who has free kids. Jesus Christ.
It's a pretty good deal for him,
He's
man.
He's got free kids because now the guitar pays for the kids. No, I take it back. His kids are paying him because $6 million will pay him and them.
That's true, yeah.
I did see some news on the guy that bought it.
Yeah, what about
it? Well, I bought it at a Barrett Jackson auction. I think the bid before my final bid was $350.
The funny thing I thought was they were viewing the history of the guitar and the fact that Frances Bean, who by the way doesn't speak to Courtney.
Oh, I didn't know that.
No, they're not speaking.
I don't blame her, but I didn't know that.
She also didn't invite Courtney to the wedding. So Courtney didn't go to the wedding. No, I mean, it's
Courtney's kind of a mess. So.
And so, well, that's kind of what I was thinking. But then I was thinking, but she's not that big a mess anymore, is she? Not like she used to be.
Who knows?
Well, she could
be. That guy from Wendy's.
Anyway, so Francis Bean, the homeless dude, he liked her. She was nice to him. She put out a couple songs.
Oh, cool.
And they had the lyrics in People magazine article.
Oh, neat. Going,
oh, wow, she really thinks she's so deep.
Well, her dad certainly thought he was deep, too.
God, but this guy, this Isaiah guy, he would always dress up like Kurt. Yeah. He would have the weird glasses and the weird clothes.
I fucking hate this guy. Maybe more than Angelina Jolie. Maybe more than her. He's such a dick. I know, he thinks he's so cool. He's got free fucking kids. I hate this guy.
Wait, if she's going to
take... How could you take her father's guitar? I mean, I think you go, look, your dad's guitar. I can't take that. But no, he demands it.
So if...
And his free kids.
She's taking care of his kids for the rest of their lives. Does that mean like when they're 40?
Yes.
Really?
Yes, he has free kids for the rest of their lives.
He's probably going to have free grandkids then. That's pretty cool.
I would say if he has any more kids, he should go to court and demand that she pay for those. Why not? She said she would. She said she would support his kids forever. Yeah, well, this is his new kid.
She didn't say how many.
Now, I'm not letting her off scot-free in this because her songs were so deep. And I was laughing as I was reading the lyrics. And then People magazine says, we asked Frances Bean Cobain what her father might think of her music, which I thought, well, what a nerve toss. And, you know, any normal person goes, oh, well, my dad was really sweet. I'm sure he would love it, and he'd be very proud of me.
Sure he'd support me.
But no, she doesn't say that. She says, I don't have an answer because I don't want to speak on someone's behalf.
It's your dad, you idiot.
And then she says, I would hope you'd be proud of the human being I am, even if he didn't like the art I'm putting up.
Did the reporter go, oh, okay, yeah, no, we know that, but we're specifically talking about your music?
She's not done. That's all I would ask of anyone. I don't like to pigeonhole myself and say I'm a musician or a visual artist because I feel it's all-encompassing and I feel every bit of my art is related to the other. So do I want to pursue my music further and see it come to fruition and see something palpable? Absolutely. Should have stuck to, I don't want to speak for somebody else. That way you would have been done.
I'm starting to like the other guy now, her ex-husband.
Your wife gave you two children as a present because she knew you wanted to be a father.
Yeah, that's a lovely gesture.
There he is.
Free kids!
I think he was talking to the judge there.
Francis, you weren't Nirvana. You're not your dad. You're just half the genes of the lead singer and songwriter of Nirvana and the lead guitarist. And you've demonstrated those genes have been incredibly diluted by Courtney Love's DNA. Yeah, not a whole lot there. You want to hit the outro?
Gross. Yeah.
Mm. Oh, God. Oh, that guy. What a fucking dick. And when you see a picture of him and you think about his free kids and him getting that guitar and becoming a $6 million heir, a multimillionaire. If you're a multimillionaire, you should never have free kids.
I mean, he's probably got 1,000 kids, all of raw dog loads he drops.
What a money-grubbing mooch. Ugh. No pride. Mm. 2 years, no kids. Just go on your way. Should be easy, but oh well. All right, so let's see. Tomorrow?
Supposed to reconnect with Batmobile Barry.
Oh, yeah, Batmobile Barry. I'm going to tell him that Mel is going to start enforcing the non-compete. Mel appreciate that.
Is this our way of getting Mel back in with us?
Yes.
Mel's going to be so anti-Barry, he'll be pro Drew and Mike again.
Need to be Mel's protectors. Oh, Billie Eilish got in a hoo-ha over the weekend, too, because she was supporting the Hong Kong protesters.
Ooh.
So she got nailed by all these Chinese people who wanted to butt out.
Ooh, wow.
Because apparently the protesting mean a lot of rioting and looting lately. So they wanted to shut the fuck up. And they're not going to listen to her music anymore.
Ooh-hoo. Yeah, Phineas didn't get involved in that mess. He knows better.
Oh, you don't know that. He might have told her to do it. Phineas is not even half.
Okay, thanks, guys. Bye.
Check out Imagine Theaters.
Gilbert Gottfried, an uncensored night of comedy with Gilbert Gottfried. Two shows tonight, early show at 7, late show at 10. And how uncensored is this, Gilbert?
It'll be totally kid-friendly. Bring your two-year-old.
Great. Great.
Yeah, right.
Yes.
We just talked to you about your book, Rubber Balls and Liquor,
yes,
a couple months ago, and I really enjoyed the book, by the way.
Oh, thank you. At least someone did.
What, didn't do well?
No, I don't know. I haven't been checking. I'm scared to check. I'm scared it's going to be like one of those. I was in the 99-cent store and saw Kirstie Alley's autobiography one time.
Oh, really?
When it first came out. And I thought, I just want to keep it out of the 99-cent store.
The bargain bin.
Yeah,
don't let it end up in there.
Well, yeah, long as I don't see it there, or at least not within the next month or so.
I would think some of the reviewers might have given you a bad time about... you're known, of course, for being a bit politically incorrect. I thought the
me. I don't know where this rumor got started.
I thought maybe the business of the Diary of Anne Frank. Gilbert decided to pleasure himself after seeing Natalie Portman in The Diary of Anne Frank.
That yes.
You're so happy about it.
Yeah, it's the only time I've masturbated to that play. I masturbated several times watching Hal Holbrook play Mark Twain. I do it on a regular basis, but this was the first time.
Yeah. I couldn't get over it. I love it when people who it seems would never cross paths, and maybe you can guess I'm already thinking about you and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. No masturbation here, but...
My agent calls me up and he says, they want you for a birthday party, which I hate doing any kind of birthday party stuff. It's like the worst.
Don't you do balloon tricks and stuff?
Oh, yes, yes. And I dress up as a clown, but the police are asking me not to talk about that. But I'm there at a table sitting between Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Pam Anderson. And Kareem Abdul-Jabbar leans over to me and goes, I bet you everybody in this place is going, who are those two guys with the shiksa?
Another thing you got into in the book, well, I don't know if we're plugging the book at the gig. You're at Magic Bag tonight. Gilbert Gottfried, an uncensored night of comedy with Gilbert. Two shows, 7 p.m. and then the late show at 10 p.m.
Oh, and the book and also my Dirty Joke DVD, you can get on GilbertGottfried.com.
All right.
Yeah.
Can you get both of them there?
Yeah, GilbertGottfried.com. I also have my Dirty Joke DVD there.
Kind of a one-stop shopping.
Yes.
That's great. You get into this thing about gay people on television. I've kind of forgotten the point of it, but I thought it was interesting.
I probably didn't know the point when I was talking about it.
Well, I remember growing up and seeing Charles Nelson Reilly on The Ghost and Mrs. Muir, which you talked about.
It's like, and years ago, there were all these gay guys on TV that you never thought in terms of them being gay. It was always like, oh, they're so eccentric.
Yeah.
Like, Paul Lynn was eccentric.
Oh, man, Paul Lynn.
That was the other one you mentioned.
Yeah. Hollywood Squares.
Yeah,
where
you didn't even think
time
of him as gay. You thought, oh, he's so crazy, you know. And they cast him in movies and TV shows where he'd have a wife and kids. And now it's like, how didn't we know that?
But Charles Nelson Reilly, did he have, see, I don't remember him doing anything besides The Ghost of Mrs. Muir. Did he do other stuff?
A lot of game shows he'd pop up on.
He was on Match.
Yeah, he was on
Match Game
shows.
Yeah,
man.
That Gene Rayburn Match Game, wasn't he on that?
Yeah, I think so.
With
that
the blanks,
sounds right, yeah.
Kind of a stupid game. Richard Dawson was on there.
Oh,
yeah.
There were a bunch of those people who are on.
How is Hollywood Squares? I mean, you haven't been on Hollywood Squares. How weird is that? What's that like being on a show like that?
That was, it was funny because growing up, I remember I used to watch Hollywood Squares, and then part of me always thought, oh God, this has to be rock bottom for someone's career. Can you imagine anything getting more low than this in show business? And so, so God is listening, is what I'm saying here.
So, now what happens? What? You know, I couldn't agree more, because it... Here on Match Game, those guys on Match Game, they didn't do anything else. Nipsey Russell and... who else is on Match Game? But Gilbert, what happens when you're thinking it's like the lowest form of celebrity life, and then they call you to do it?
Yeah.
I mean, did you have to have a self-examination or what?
Then you go, screw it. This is pretty good.
Well, you go, I can understand why people did this. It's not that bad.
I got to ask you about, we're talking about reality TV, you know, reading up on some of the things, and whether you, you know, and I guess you get inundated these days, right, for reality TV. And you taught, were you on a show where it was in a nut house with ghosts?
Is
that true?
Oh, what was that?
And it aired?
Yeah, it actually aired.
When was it?
Yeah, this was a couple of years ago.
Did we see this, Mike? Did we talk about this show?
No, I read about that, and I thought,
what is
that's
it?
That's weird.
It was pretty embarrassing.
Was that a career low?
It was me and other big celebs. one was some girl who was on Survivor, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I forget which one it was. There was a porn star.
Oh, wait a minute. I read about
Tracy
that.
Lord.
Yeah, yeah.
Tracy
oh, Lord. Nice.
Yeah, yeah.
And the whole thing
did
was...
you hit that?
The whole thing was even too much for her to swallow.
Who do you think was the most distraught? Gilbert, of the three of you, the survivor person, yourself, and Tracy Lords, who is the most distraught to be on the show?
I think Tracy Lords thought this was a low point.
Really?
This was the most embarrassing, degrading thing she's ever done.
Oh, my God. Oh, is that grim?
And he has there with these, like, basically Ghostbuster packs on us. And it was like these thermometers or something, these high-powered thermometers. Because one way to tell if there's a ghost in your house is if the temperature is slightly different in one side of the room than the other.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like the air control problem, you know, they're known for their great temperature control in abandoned nut houses. You know, so if it's not totally correct temperature, then it has to be ghost. Because even if it's abandoned and it's covered in spider webs, they usually come in and check the confectors constantly. So you know if one part of an abandoned nut house is slightly cooler or warmer than the other part, that means there's a ghost roaming there. Expect to see Lincoln somewhere, or Marilyn Monroe.
And the point of this show was?
That you'll get, like, people who aren't working. And there's no such a thing as Gilbert Gottfried won't drop that low. I mean,
I'm surprised. What was going on? Seriously, when you took that job, were you not working? Were you thinking, well, I'll just do between jobs, or what was going on?
I don't know what I was. I don't know what I'm thinking half the time in my career.
It just doesn't sound like it's something in your wheelhouse.
Yes.
I mean, were they filming you like where you guys were reacting like you were? You were like scared to death because they were showing the thermometers, all that stuff, and you were really.
You couldn't even
out of there.
Oh, but couldn't even use your sense of humor in that show. Wow. You had to be like serious and intense.
Wow,
it's terrible.
Well, you know, there are a lot of those ghost shows. I'm trying to remember the channel. What, there's one that's
Ghost Hunters.
Yeah. Oh my God. Hey, thank God it wasn't I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. Really sucks.
That's
a low point.
There was one part of this ghost thing where. The ghost has to communicate by going inside someone.
Tracy Lords
actually has to say the line, okay, come inside me.
That's not the first time.
She said that very comfortably.
Oh, boy.
She didn't need a director to tell her how to do it. She said that like you'd think she'd said it before.
Oh, my. The nuance was different, though. Meaning was a little different.
It's when she threw in instead of all over my face like it usually is.
Gilbert. I knew we'd be hitting the dump button sooner or later.
Yeah, we were headed down that road. I just knew it. The minute he drew a breath, I thought, here it comes. Hey, man, I was going to ask you about this Affleck duck. Did you look on this duck and go, like, are you a little jealous of this new guy? Like, hey, man, that's my gig. You know what's funny about the Affleck thing? I was thinking, for all the things that you've accomplished in your comedic career, you have so many people that go, Gilbert, he's the Affleck duck.
Yeah.
For everything you've done, and you're stuck with, he's that duck. It's like you've done nothing.
I apologize in advance for this, Gilbert, but I never thought there was like the delivery of Affleck itself. Is there something so unique about the way you say it that no one else can say it that way?
Evidently not.
How did they pick you in the first place?
It was up between me and Liam Neeson.
Really?
And I was going to be in Schindler's List. But, at the last second, we switched.
You switched at the last second.
Yeah,
I would have loved to see you in Schindler's List.
You would have been great in Schindler's List, Gilbert. How could you give that up? The role of a lifetime. And you wouldn't have blown the Affleck gig. We know that.
Oh, man. You have to apologize constantly.
Seriously, the political correctness is now at such an all-time high.
I want
to be a little tricky
anymore. I'm thinking of making up a tape that I can just insert names into where it's like, this is Gilbert Gottfried, and I want to apologize to Japan.
Just a generic apology. Yeah, it does seem though.
I'd like to apologize this week to homosexuals.
Apologize to
it doesn't seem though when you apologize now that it's pretty well accepted and it's over. Whereas some things were unforgivable. I mean, there were those things you could not survive. Well, usually that's got to be like Jimmy the Greek or. I mean, Jimmy the Greek was done. It was over.
Yeah. When he did that. And it
Pee Wee was kind of over for a long Pee Wee.
Oh, yeah.
Was it 10 years?
Yeah.
Boy, that was the roughest masturbation episode in all of world history. Man, one bomb up at the theater.
I hope that was
done.
A good one.
Yeah. And it was probably a boil over.
I got in trouble during the Pee-wee thing because afterwards I went on the Emmys and I said I sleep better tonight knowing that Pee-wee Herman's been arrested. If masturbation's a crime, I should be on death row. and that got censored from the Emmys.
They did?
Yeah. They cut it on the West Coast one. The New York one had just slipped out. And it hit all the papers, and there too, because it was so shocking and offensive and something no one should hear. Every newscaster repeated the joke and showed the segment. That's the sound he was making while he was masturbating. While he was in the porn theater. If he had just kept his mouth shut.
I know. I always wondered how they got him. Hey, now you ended up on SNL.
The worst part is when they arrested him. The arrest photos. He looked like Christ.
Yeah,
with like a beard.
It was awful. Didn't you get chosen for SNL over Paul Rubens?
Yes, that's what he keeps talking about.
Do you remember
he's
it that way?
Masturbating. Well, sometimes he mentions my name while he's masturbating. He screams it out and he's ejaculating. He screams.
I love that story. I love that story. Next. I love that story. Any good jokes, I think? Oh, so funny, I forgot to laugh.
What? I remember him coming on MTV with hurting good jokes lately, and people
absolutely.
Were like, Pee-wee, we love you. And then it was like, poof, gone for 10 years.
That was it. That was it.
Amazing.
He was a child star, you know.
Why is Matt calling about Michael Landon? When has Gilbert crossed paths with Michael Landon?
Oh, well, I used to be a regular on Little House.
I would kill for that to be true. Hey, Matt.
Yeah, right after Michael Landon died, they had a tribute to him. I think it was on the Golden Globes or Emmys or something like that. Immediately after that video, Gilbert came out and talked about masturbation. I think it was with Pee-wee, and he said if they prosecuted for masturbation, he would have got the death penalty a long time ago. So hey. I'm just curious if he got any flack for that.
I'm getting deja vu.
Yes.
Yes.
That's obviously the same show. But that was right after Michael Landon's death tribute?
Oh, I guess so. they brought me out because on Bonanza, I was Hop Singh.
That a girl, Miley. I love that after a Michael Landon tribute, that's just the timing couldn't be more perfect.
Oh, my God.
Joe?
Yes, sir.
You're on with Gilbert.
Hey, Gilbert, how you doing today?
Hi, good.
I got a couple of questions for you. First of all, how was it working with Arnold Schwarzenegger on, what was that movie, Kindergarten Cop?
Well, I never worked with Arnold Schwarzenegger, and I wasn't in Kindergarten Cop. I'm sure he's a very nice man, and I'm sure the set was loads of fun.
I was sitting there going, wow, I didn't know Gilbert was in Kindergarten Cop. He must have had some cameo.
And while we're on it, Lawrence of Arabia, I loved Peter O'Toole.
Hey, Joe. What role did you think Gilbert had in Kindergarten Cop?
Oh, I have no idea, man. I just turned on the radio. I heard y'all laughing. I was just wondering what kind of weed he brought in there, man, because y'all must be high as a kite laughing at
me. Quiet.
You got confused with Beverly Hills Cop, too.
Oh, he wasn't Beverly Hills?
Yes.
No, then I was working with Eddie Murphy.
Who's very often confused with Arnold Schwarzenegger. Two of them.
Oh, man.
Quiet.
All right, you go.
Let's see. I had an ex whose biggest claim to fame is that he once came upon Gilbert on a Florida beach. Max said, my God.
He came on me on a Florida beach?
He came upon you.
Yeah. And the worst part about it is uh-oh. I thought it was suntan oil and oh, rubbed God. It all over myself. That's the worst. That's the most.
I was waiting.
Oh, boy.
I was waiting for something more.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Gilbert said, hiya, how's it going? I can't tell you how many stupid times he has told that story to everyone he ever met. Now it's my story. Subject. Hey, guys, play the Chuck Berry fart for Gilbert.
Oh, brother.
Okay.
Oh,
Gilbert's
man.
Heard the Chuck Berry fart.
Yes.
I bet. You've probably seen
no, no, I don't think I've heard the fart. I you heard about it.
Oh, you heard about it?
Yeah.
You didn't see the video?
Well. I need proof.
Oh, well.
I don't believe you.
Well, Boone should bring out the video for that.
Yes,
yeah,
yes.
Really. Yeah.
You want one or two?
the first one.
You can smell my farts.
You can smell my farts. He's farting in a woman's face. A yeah. white woman's face.
Allegedly a prostitute who was kneeling before him. She was soaked in urine, too, wasn't she?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Chuck had mm-hmm. Chuck had done that, too.
Yeah, Chuck
and
had
done that. How much did he...
You can smell my farts. It's a lucky
day. Now, is that a powerful fart or what?
Oh, my God.
I mean, that is a powerful, like...
If I heard that in a movie, I'd go, oh, you know, go back and re-record it. Yeah. It's so fake.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's obviously someone with a trombone or something. Yes. That's not real. See, Pee-wee enjoyed it.
Yeah,
he did. Loved
right.
it.
Yeah, he did.
All right. I'm standing, picking myself off the floor and laughing till it hurts. Now I'm standing by my computer at work. Great effing segment. Cheers from Chuck.
No.
Gilbert
Chuck Mate. Berry. Yeah.
Yeah, of course. Thanks, Gilbert. And I hope you kill him tonight. I'm
Thanks.
Sure you will.
And may I say to everyone out there, you can smell my farts.
Next time.